beginning of Parshas Shemot, the Torah gives the Azhorah for Kohanim that they're not permitted to be Mitam Le'Mesim. In other religions, the Galochim are known for their friars. In Europe, always used to be known for their Midas Chasadim, used to bury all Mesim. They were called Galochim because they used to shave off all the hair. And they used to be known for the wine that they used to manufacture. The monks were the friars. And by us, it's everything is from Taket, that Kohanim are forbidden to drink wine. It's in the Haftarah and the Chumash earlier in the Quran. They're not permitted to be Mitam Le'Mesim. They're not permitted to shave off their hair. The Haftarah says they're not permitted. They're not permitted to let their hair grow long. They're not allowed to shave off all their hair. They have to be nicely groomed. They have to dress nicely. They have to wear nice tikkun when they do the Avodah. If you have a Baal Mum, he's not good looking, you can't do Avodah. He has to be a good looking person. We have Makhbid Antitzenius also, but Makhbid Antitzenius, so Makhbid Antitzenius as well. Not just that you have a Kayan and he has a Bild Evil, he has long hair and he walks around with jeans, so you can do the Avodah. He has to be well dressed and well groomed. The Bali Musa gave the Darshanim in Europe, used to give on this part, why you're not permitted to the Tamil Mason. That the leaders of our religion are supposed to be the Kohanim, they're supposed to be the ones who pass in the Shailas, and so on. And the Haftarah today said, it says that the Kohanim, the Rambam quotes from the Sifrei, that it's the mitzvah of a Hamid Kohanim, the Bezin, whenever you appoint members to a Bezin, the mitzvah of a Haftilat HaKohanim Levim, their job is supposed to be, in addition to HaKadosh Kabbalah, supposed to be to lead the Jewish people into fasting and Shabbat. So the Torah says that they should not be Mitamul Mason, that they should be Yosik and Chayim, and not a Mason. That the Gemara says in the first Perek in Brachos, if a person sees that his Yetzirah is Mizgaber Olam, so he should be Lamed Torah. And if the Lamed Torah doesn't work, then he should be to a Kriyat Shema, and if that doesn't work, then Yaskelo Yoma Miso. So the Dolte Estakasha, the Baal Musa Yifte Estakasha. So why is it? If the first medication doesn't work, then you take the second. Second doesn't work, then you take the third. What do you have to wait? Why don't you just take the third? Yaskal Lo Yalam Misha and fight it. The family sees in the Gemara that there are negative side effects from being Yaskal Lo Yalam Misha. That a person will walk around, if you're always thinking about death, it's Takal Shlosha Dvam Yatavon De'aver. If you're going to always think about death, you're always going to be morose, and our person is not going to be cheerful. So that's what the Torah says, Kohanim are not permitted to come in contact with Mason. They have to be cheerful people. They have to have a Simchas HaChaim. That's what they say from the previous Satmar Rebbe. He commented about when he came to America, religious observance among the Jews was very sharp. He came after the Second World War when they ran away from the Nazis. So they improved things a little bit, a lot. So he commented, why is it that that the earlier Jews who came, they were also religious, they were medakikin in mitzvahs. How come they failed in instilling religious values in their children, and how come the new people who came after the war succeeded? So he looked around, traveled around America, and he saw that the first thing that the old generation was makpid about was they had to have a chavik adisha, they had to have karka, the first thing they worried about was about burial plots. Every farayim, every organization, every group of Jews who came from Europe, from every community, so they made their own karka, they got their own karka, they got their own, they were very makbid about that. And then somehow the chinuch of the young children that they worried about later. When these people came after the war, the first thing they were worried about was the chinuch. Like Yankov Avinu, when he went to Mitzrayim, so the first thing was he sent Yehuda to establish a Beis HaYirah, to establish a Yisrael. You have to first worry about the living, and then you worry about the dead later. That's why there were many who were opposed to the whole Muslim movement, because there are different strains in the Muslim movement. There are completely different branches in Muslims. Mm-hmm. Some of the branches in the Muslim movement were very dreary, had a very morose outlook on life. So that was the Pchina of Yaskal Yom HaMitzvah. So that's what, if you look in Rav Soloveitchik's essay that's entitled Isha Halacha, so he quotes about this, that they confronted Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, why doesn't he allow them to institute the Limud HaMusa in Balojan and Yeshiva. So he said he's opposed to it because Yaskal Yom HaMitzvah is the last resort. You're not supposed to think about death so much. So that's what the Darshanim have on the first pasuk in Parshas Shemot. They have a lot about that. There was Sfarim in Europe that used to have all the standard rush that all the Rabbanim used to use. But one of those Sfarim is known as the Shar Bas Rabbi. It was reprinted many times. On the beginning of Parshas Shemot, it has long arithas on this theme. There was another Jew sefer that all the rabbanim used to use, Koila Nekro. He was before the Shabbat Rabbah. Shabbat Rabbah quotes it, Talikud. So he quotes from, among other people, he quotes from the Koila Nekro also. And this person has a long having as well. Rashi quotes from the Gemara that this din, Dabir of Bnei Aharon, you have to play Tam of Yam, it only applies to Bnei Aharon, but Bnei Saharon. It doesn't apply to a Kohenis. Only applies to a Kohen. That's a big shaila. What is the status of a Kohenis? The Gemara in Saita, the Mishnah in Saita has dinim where the Kohenis has the same status as the Kohen, another dinim where the Kohenis does not have the same status as the Kohen. So that's the shaila. What taka is the din? A Kohenis has a Kedushas Kuhuna. Except that there are certain halachas where she was excluded, or no. Basically, Kedushas Kuhuna is only for the men and not for the women. And there are certain dinim. But despite the fact that she doesn't have a Kedushas Kuhuna, since she's a Bas Kohen, so she's Beveis HaKohen, like an Eishes Kohen has certain dinim, she's Achelas B'Truma. That's the Shadalati of Bas Kohen. Bas Kohen is Achelas B'Truma. Is she Achelas B'Truma B'Torah as Bas Kohen? She's B'Shus Aviyah. And even if the father died, the Allah still says she's called B'Shus Aviyah. You know, the father's not alive anymore. Oh no, Bas Kohen is a Kohenet. Of course she's Achelas B'Truma. That's the Machlokes HaRishayim. The beginning of Kiddushin, the beginning of Tzumah. Taisus and the Taisus Rosh have a machlokes about that. What's the Gedra Adin that a Bas Kohen is a Chelus in life? Anyway, but a Kohenis is permitted to be Mitam and Amazim. That's for sure. Min Haskino has a funny discussion. You have to ask the doctors whether such a thing is going to happen. He talks about an androgynous getting married. If an androgynous marries, androgynous has a neighbor Zachus and a neighbor Nachus. Can it be moilig as a man or as a woman? So the men have been assumed he can do both. The stomach depends. Now what is an androgynous? Some of the androgynous is either a zohar with a, look, that person has an abnormal growth. He has a nose over here. That doesn't belong. It's an abnormal growth. So you have a person has an neighbor Zachus and a neighbor Nachus. The stomach, I imagine what it is that he's either, the Gemara says, a sophic zohar, sophic in the table. What kind of a sophic zohar on the table? So according to the Pashto says that either basically he's a zohar and he should be able to be moved as a zohar, except that the Eber HaNakhtus is an abnormal growth. Happens to be that it grew over there. It could have just as well grown on his head. But it's an abnormal growth over there. Or no, basically it's he's in a cave. And Eber HaZakhtus is an abnormal growth. So whichever basically he really is, I would assume that that's what basically will work. Either he can be a mother or a father. He can't be both. A mother and a father. So then Hasina has this funny discussion. He assumes, I don't know, you gotta find out. Okay. Not everybody, not all the doctors know Min Hasina, right? Okay.
Most of them are, I think most of them are infertile.
Period. And if you treat them with hormones? If you treat me with hormones, I still can't be in a cave. But if you treat me in a cave with hormones, you still can't be a zafar. But what if you can treat the androgyny?
It depends on the type.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the Min Hasina has this at this funny shayla. It's interesting. It's Miguel Alocha though. He says if you have an androgynous is a Kohen, and he lives with a Yisraelis, and they have a baby boy. But he wants to know, and this passage wants to know, would the baby boy be a Kohen? Or not, because the mishpachosim levei saroyim, mishpachas avkri, mishpachim, mishpachas eimeinikri, mishpachim. So yeah, according to the tzad that androgynous is a sophic zachar, sophic nekesh. I thought it's a sophic in metziah, it's not a sophic in din, because it's a tatar to the sasin, you have zachar and nakrus, and it's a tatar to the sasin, you treat it like the rich boy. And Yuma says, benegeit ha-ben ha-shmashis, that ben ha-shmashis 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 ha-shmashis. He says that Ben Hashmashis really has elements of Yom and elements of Laila, but it's a Hatar to the Sasi. What is it? Is it Yom or is it Laila? So therefore the Halacha treats it as if it were a Sasi, because whenever you have a tie to the Sasi in Metzias, so you have to treat it halachically as if it's Sasi. But it's not that it's really a Sasi in Metzias, that we don't know where to draw the line when day ends and night begins. It's really this period of time of Ben Hashmashis, however long it is, has both properties of Yom and properties of Laila, and every tie to the Sasi is treated as if it's worth it. I thought that androgynous is not that kind of a suffix, that it's a zohar and an akeva and it's a type of disaster, and therefore we treat him like a suffix. I thought he's either basically a zohar with an abnormal growth of an akeva, so he's basically in a table with an abnormal growth of a zakhus over there. But the Mehasenach assumes not so. He assumes that it's Al-Pidin, that there is a Safik Zaha Safik Mishayi. So he says, if they'll have a son, will a son be a Kohen or not? If the mother was a Yisraelis, and the Zaha and the father, the sperm came from the donor of the sperm was a Kohen androgynous. So he says, just because the sperm came from a Kohen, doesn't mean that the child is going to be Kohen. The halacha says the mishpachosim lebeis avosim mishpachas alkri mishpacha has to be from the father. The mother's a Kohenis doesn't help. I thought the mother's Kohenis doesn't help because that's not the sperm. But if it's sperm, that goes to an egg. So whoever gives the sperm, if that individual is a Kohen, so the baby's a Kohen. So he says, no, it has to be a father. And if the suffix nekeva, so therefore he has two mothers maybe. Doesn't have any father. But he says maybe the kid is not a cunt. Androgynous is Mightyus Nina. Are you sure it's that someone did? Androgynous is Mightyus Nina. I don't know. Atuntum is not Mightyus Nina. And Androgynous is. So why did the Morrison draw out Dragon Eyes Abu Kharamach, and maybe half of them should be with the Y chromosome, half of them should be with the X chromosome? I don't know. You see from the Gemara like the Minhasina from the spin. Okay. I don't know. Maybe someone should reinvestigate that issue. Maybe it should not be so. I don't know. That's a very good point. Maybe Minhasina has, so what, let's say today, when we take, the sperm from a Kohen, let's say a Kohen is married to a woman and they can't have children for some reason or another, unless they'll have artificial insemination from the Zera Habal. So just because he's a donor of the sperm, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's the father of the child. One could say that the only established fatherhood based on a Maise Tashmish. That's what some Rishonim hold. Basically on the beginning of Ksubis, quotes like that. If you have a person, it's Ain't Biyos Sabir, it's Ain't Biyos Sabir, it's Ain't Biyos Sabir. If you didn't have a Mai Sabir, that's what in the beginning of Eben Ezra, in the end of Sim Allah, the Beish Shmuel, quotes from Achleik Sereshanim about that. Just because, let's say, a woman was Nisabra B'Ambati. In other words, the sperm reached the egg without having a Mai Sabir. So it's a Shah Machleik Sereshanim, whether the blood is Nisabra after the father. Yichus to be considered a father, lo mastik, if the sperm came from that person. So whoever he is, he's the father of the baby. No, it has to be an av, al pidin. So it could be that you need after tashmish for that. Then Ibn Haskinach has another shayla, but what if a kohen is an androgynous, and a Yisrael, male Yisrael, is living with this androgynous, and the androgynous becomes pregnant from the male Yisrael, and the androgynous has a baby, will the baby be a Kohen or not? So he says, well, his father, the one who gave the sperm, is not the Kohen. But he says, so what? Maybe he has two fathers. Maybe he has, he has two mothers. He didn't have. So there's a Stephen to Psuk, and one passage says, Hamata Nava Shachacha. The mother of all, Achashverosh, her name was Shachacha. One passage, Hamata Nava Fuarapo. A different name. So who was the mother of the Melech? So the Teretz is the Gambash Tamal, also Mishnei Nashim. Rashi had two mothers, yeah? That's the Purim Teretz that they say. But here's the Minchas Chinuch on this pasuk. He says, I have to think so, that the baby has two mothers, and the baby has two fathers. So he wants to say that if you have a male Yisrael, is Boal, an androgynous, who's a Sophic Zachar, Sophic Contagious, according to one side, he's a Zachar, and he holds that it's a Sophic indeed. It can be a Zoch and it can be modeled like an Akeva. Okay, so that's the question whether that's the shot that he pointed out from the Gemara is like in the Hafkin. Okay. But he says maybe the child will be a Kayin because he has two fathers. He has one father who donated the sperm, one father donated the egg. Not that the one who gives the egg is the mother and the one who gives the sperm is the father. The Zochar is the father and the Akeva is the mother. Anyway, yes, maybe he's a Chatzi Kohen, Chatzi Yisrael. But Min HaSinuch explains that Chatzi Goy, Chatzi Yisrael. Half Jew, by the Nazis, the Nazis had whoever was a half Jew, a quarter Jew, an eighth of a Jew. He had a great grandparent who was Jewish, an eighth of a Jew, a sixteenth of a Jew. So they would decide whom they're going to kill based on how much Jewish blood you have in you. So by us, that's a joke. What do you mean? Either the person is a Jew or he's a guy. It all depends who the mother is. And Haskinah has every 50 pages he has again. And it's going to what I explained over there, that there's such a thing as a Chatzi Yisrael, Chatzi Yakum, that he has over here. The Gemara has Chatzi Erev, Chatzi Mecher, that we're familiar with. But in the Haskinah, advanced the Halacha. The generation of Halacha is advancing, so then Haskinah advances, is fixed by the Chatzi Kohen, Chatzi Yisrael. Here, Shayach, according to his, the Haskinah has it over here. But he has two fathers, not Dasa Tamishtein Hashem. He has two fathers, he has no mother. And the Mishpachosim, Bavai Savosim, and one father, the one who gave the sperm, that father is Israel. And the father who gave the egg, the androgynous. According to the tzadar, is a suffix zacha. The father who gave the egg is a kohen. So then it's everything. So the kid has two fathers, and one is the Israel, one is a kohen. Maybe the chatzi kohen, chatzi Israel. He has discussions about it. So eventually, he used to find that part every one time, but he always used to joke about that. Whenever you talk about Chatzi Kohen, Chatzi Yisrael, Chatzi Yakum, you got to look in the Minhag Sinah. That belongs to him. It's all his. The Ibn Ezra has a famous comment on the Pasuk, on the second Pasuk. The Chumash lists off the seven praises that the Kohen is permitted to be Mitame, permitted and required to be Mitame. That lists off in the order Le'imo, Le'yavish, Le'bna, Le'vito, Le'yachav. Why does it say Imo first? That he says, as we all know, years ago in the days of the Tanakh, the women used to die earlier than the men. So they used to have the babies and so on. So that's why the women would die first. So that's what the Achreinim, all of them, Farshim, Eskakasha, if he's right, that's the reason why he has the mother mentioned first. And why is it that by the Kohen Gadol? And it says the Kohen Gadol is not permitted to be Mitame L'Mesim at all, even to the Zayin Kohen. So the list is mentioned in the reverse order. Akol Nafshis Meis Lo Yavo, he's not permitted to the Mitame, so he should have said Le'im or Le'yavish. But he comes. Should say first the mother, then the father. The mother usually dies first. There, Tchung Faker. La'ovin yule'im or la'itam. Why is the order mentioned Faker? So they give different terutzim on this. On the assumption the Ibn Ezra is right, they give different terutzim. And others say it's the right Ibn Ezra is wrong. They give different explanations. One of the famous terutzim that they give is, which is al-Tidin, not correct at all, one of the famous terutzim that they say is, the Kohen Gadol, how did he become a Kohen Gadol? His father was a Kohen Gadol. Father died, he became a Kohen Gadol. So if his mother's going to die first before the father, so how did he become a Kohen Gadol? So obviously, if he became a Kohen Gadol, his father must have died first. His father died and it just made him a Kohen Gadol. So then, he was just appointed Kohen Gadol. So obviously, lo yitama. And then when his mother dies later, lo yitama. It's not correct, because a person can be a Kohen Gadol without Yashanim from his father. Usually, the Halacha says that we learned in Parshas Achrimonis. If one learns that from the Pasuk, if the Bein is Roy to be appointed as the Kohen Gadol, he's supposed to appoint the son of the Kohen Gadol as Kohen Gadol. But the Gemota Hechetimtzu, that you have a man who's appointed as Kohen Gadol, and his father was never a Kohen Gadol. So his mother can die first before his father. That's not. And it's also, what do you mean? The minute his father dies before the Tzvur, they right away appoint the son as a Kohen Gadol. And then there's a din, he's not allowed to be Mitame to his own father. So let him wait till after the Levi, then they'll appoint him as a Kohen Gadol. What's the Behola? It's a funny pshat, the way the Velt says pshat. L'ovim v'lim, alo yitame, the Kohen Gadol is not. His father died and they appointed him the next second. They already appointed him as a Kohen Gadol. He's not allowed to be Mitame to his own father. It's a humorous pshat. Sakasha and even as. Then the Chumash says the difference. Bachos ha'psul ha'krever shalohoi salish lo yitamo. He's only permitted and obligated to the mitame to his sister who was never nesua. Rashi says l'rabis es arusa. Even if she was arusa to somebody else, as long as she was never nesua to anybody else. Arusha can his garsha, he is mitame, but if the achos ha'mis is not. Or let's say the achos ha'nivolo not. Achos ha'psula, the achos ha'mis nivolo, she was never married to anybody, but she was nesua. But also, he's not mitame to her. That says, "Achos apsula, akroy ve'elav, asher lo ha'yisamish lo yitama." What kind of a din is that? That when my sister marries someone, the nisuin, she's not my sister anymore. She becomes my sister-in-law, because she's married to my brother-in-law. She's not my sister anymore. Or no, let's say my sister was nivolo. It's a sister. Agzeris akosu. That kind is not mitame to achos and is beulah. There's also agzeris akosu. It doesn't mean that it's moirid. When the sister becomes an estua to someone else, it means that she moves out of the family. Like I have 9 children, so I have a little child, and I have a married daughter. So my little baby says, "Oh, Aviva used to be a member of our family." says, my oldest daughter got married, so she thinks that she's not a child anymore in the family. So is that what it means in the Chumash? That once the sister becomes a Nesuah, so she's not a member of the family anymore. It's like a sister-in-law. Or no, it's not Zeres HaKasuv, there's no Din Tuma, like a Be'ula. Be'ula's still living in the house, but still there's no Din Tuma. That seems to be, strangely enough, that seems perhaps to be a machlokes the Rambam and the Ramban, because the Gemara has a din and the third Terek in Ma'ikot and Terek in Magaf and all the dinim of Avelus. That's what the Dapyani people are learning these days. Ma'ikot is Masif about Chalamoit. Beit says Masachas Yantif and Ma'ikot, Masachas Mashkin. The Rishayim is called Masachas Mashkin because it starts with the word Mashkin Beit HaShlochin. We call it Ma'ikot and it's a little Yantif, Chalamoit. So the third Terek has all the dinim of Avelus and Kure on Chalamoit and in general. So the Gemara has there a Braise. All of the relatives mentioned here are the same relatives that he gave to Avelus. And then in later generations, Hasifa Alem, the Tanoim added on that even those relatives not mentioned here, there's also a din of Avelus. For example, the only brother and sister that the Kohen is Metamitu is Achiv and Achoso Min Ha'ov, Velo Min Ha'ein. Let's say the Kohen has a half brother or a half sister who does not share the same father that he has. It's the same mother, not the same father. So then the Gemara says he's not permitted to be in the time of the Mason. So the Gemara says the original din of Avelus, originally Avelus didn't apply to such a relative either. It's not the relatives in the list. The only relatives that you have Avelus call Shehakoin Mitamilo Ha'ovam Misabalolo. Or call Shehakoin Mitamilo, so the Kraven are not Misabalolo. Then Hasifalem, Ochiz and Ha'ein, and so on. So there's a machlokes, the Rambam, and the Ramban, what about Achoso Nesuah? Was that only added, was that added later in the Rabbanah? Or no, that was always the din. That was the original din also. The Allah that Achoso Nesuah, the Kohen is not Mitami, the Xeris Achoso. It's not that there's a Chisoran in the Kurva. If you have a Ochi, but Achoso Min Ha'ein, that's a different kurva. That's not. It's only a half sister from the mother, not from the father. So that's not the Achim and Av is a closer kurva than Achim and Hoy. But Achos HaNesua, just like Zeres HaKosim and Tumah, why should they have a Shaykhus with Avelus? And the other Shaykhus hold no. That Achos HaNesua is like a sister-in-law. She used to be a member of the family and she's no longer. She's like a less of a kurva. Seems like it's a machlokes of a Shaykhus perhaps. The kurva by Gula, everybody should agree, I think. The question in the Rishon. What about by Achoso Be'ula, who was never Nesuah? Would there be Avelus? Would the Avelus only be added in the later generation? Or was that already in the first stage? Kol Shakoyim Mitamilo Ha'ovo Mesabalolo. What about Achoso Be'ula Shelo Nesuah? Some Rishon said that that's also in the Rabbana, but then it's not the way I'm saying. But one should assume that Be'ula, just like Zeres HaKasuv of the Kohen, is not the Tame, and by Nesuah as a Machloket, then Machor, that's the Shaila. What's the nature of these din? The Chlal, what kind of a din is it? What does the Gemara say? Kol Shakoyim Mitame Loi Ha'ovo Mesabal Olov? That's just a similar dover. Is Avelus Min HaTorah or is Avelus Min Rabbana? So there is a big machlokes in the Rishonim, the Mechaber and the Ramah. I have a machlokes had a task in the Ramah, the very end of Yerodeya. I think it's next to the last siman in Yerodeya. The Ramah says that we paskin, the Ashkenazim paskin, like the Bali HaTayis, that there's no Avelus Min HaTorah. And the Mechaber paskins, the Sfaradim follow the Shitas HaRambam, the Harif, the HaGa'inim, and the Chachmi Sfarad. They all hold that there is Avelus. Avelus Yom Rishon is their rice. So according to the Ga'inim, they take it. They take that brayser literally. Kol shakoyim mitamilai ha'avon misabalolov. That was the din derayser. Then hosifu aleim the rachachonim added on. But before the rachachonim added on, what was the original din? The first line was a din derayser. That wasn't a din derabbanan. And the Ramah, not so. The Ramah passes like the Bala says that everything was with the Rabbanan. All avelus on the Rabbanan. So the first generation, the original din was also with the Rabbanan. Kol shakoyim mitamilai ha'avon misabalolov. That was with the Rabbanan. Then hosifu was right from the Rabbanan. Later they added on more the Rabbanan, but the original din was also the Rabbanan. It's interesting, even according to the Rambam, that Avelus Yom Rishon is the Raisa, Avelus Yom Rishon is the Raisa, but the other 6 days is not the Raisa. So the Gemara has a din, also in Ma'itkot, in the third Terek, in Elam Agafim. The Gemara says, learns that from a pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra, that Avel Eina Mishaleach Korban Aisav, that one who is in the state of Avelus is forbidden to send korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. We want to learn that from the pasuk. Shlomim is mashur shalom, lo is mashur chaser. Even if you yourself don't enter the Beis HaMikdash, you just send a korban, then you have to be in a state of simcha. And one who's in aveva is not in a state of simcha, so you cannot even be mishaleach korbanos. Cannot even ask someone else to bring the korbanos for him to the Beis HaMikdash, even if he's not going to enter. There's not roi lo roi. So the Gemara learns it out from the pasuk. It sounds as if it's really a din d'oraisa, maybe. Doesn't say fairness, but doesn't say, no one says that it's only an asmachta. It sounds as if it's a din d'oraisa. The Rambam, when he quotes that din, writes, Ovelein mishaleach korbanos kol shiva, all 7 days. So Ravtovetchik asks Prakash, how can it be kol shiva if the Rambam only knows that Avelis Yom Rishon is d'oraisa? And here he sounds as if he's saying that that there's a din d'oraisa, that kol shiva he's ein mishaleach korbanos. So he thought that there wasn't any contradiction. Others would say that the whole din of Avelein mishaleach korbanos is only an asmachta mid rabbanan. So they thought that it was a din d'oraisa, and he thought there wasn't a contradiction. He thought when the Rambam says that Avelis is only noig min atera yom rishon, that means the nihud Avelis. But that he is in a state of Avelis, that he has a shame oval on him, he thought that that is a din min atera kol shiva. He has a shame oval. Why not? What do you mean a shame oval? If there's no nihud Avelis, neither bikum v'yasei nor b'shevi al-tasa. He thought, but over here, l'chata nafkimina, here's a nafkimina. One who has a shame oval on him, although he doesn't have to have any nihugim, he's in a state of avela, so he's forbidden to be mishaleach korbanos. It's interesting, if you say it like that, then you understand very well, kod tika rabbanon came there, raisa tika. That mid the rabbanon, they extended the nihugi avela for kol shiva, because on the level of the raisa, there is a din of avela kol shiva. It's a shame oval kol shiva. From the rabbanon, they extended the nihugi to be observed kol shiva. The Torah prohibits us from getting carried away. Alameis. Leituchu karcha b'roish Rashi says alameis. Leitzaram leisitu sarotes also alameis. And the pasuk in Dvarim where this is written, Leituchu karcha b'ein enecham lameis. Rashi quotes in Dvarim Yudalit when it's written in Dvarim, so it says Dvarim atam l'Hashem alakechem. That's the reason why you shouldn't get carried away. So the Darshanim in Europe used to speak about this. There's also the Shabbat Rabbi quotes this. In the Jewish, I remember hearing these drushes years ago when I was a little boy. Years ago, the Darshanim had a totally different style. They used to give classical, traditional hashkafa. They didn't take headlines of the New York Times and make a gematria on it or something, Abshachetel, Abertel. They used to say, oh, real hashkafa, traditional hashkafa. So on this pasuk, so the following drush used to say that let's say you hear that somebody was run over by a car, tragedy, terrible, and then you hear it was a Jew, it even hurts more. Then you hear that it was a relative of yours, even hurts more. So would it make any sense, let's say you hear that someone was run over by a car, a human being, a person was killed, terrible tragedy, then someone comes and he says, don't cry so much, it's your brother who was killed. So that's the reason why you shouldn't cry. Other rabbi, you should cry more. That's the reason to cry more. What does the Torah say? Leituch kocha b'roisham v'sarv l'yisr t'sarot is spoken here by the Kohanim and in Dvarim Yudalev by the Israel, and Rashi explains why you have to have, Rashi quotes the Gemara, why you have to have the two spoken to complement each other, give you all the details. And the Torah in Dvarim Yudalev gives you the reason why, because the reason why you shouldn't cry so much is because Dvarim Atam Hashem Akechem, it's not so bad, it's only a Jew who got killed, it's only a Jew who died. That's the reason why we should not cry more. If a Nachri dies, so then I understand why you shouldn't cut your skin, why you shouldn't start ripping your hair out. But Israel dies. Other rabbis, it's a terrible avodah, so maybe a person should get carried away. So that's what the Bali Jewish always used to explain, Pasuk Shad in the Pasuk, that when a Israel dies, his neshama goes to the other mamas. So the world didn't come to an end. It's just that a person is moving from one place to the other. Let's say a good friend of mine moves to Eretz Israel. So we have a taste from the Shalom party and I see him off at the airport and everybody's crying and hugging and kissing and goodbye. Avelis forever. I cry over the fact that I'm not going to see him, but I'm going to correspond. We'll talk on the telephone once in a while. I'll visit there, I'll visit here. He didn't die. So even if a person died, suppose he didn't die, he moved to another place. So he won't send him a letter, he won't talk on the telephone. But the world didn't come to an end. He went to the Eretz Yisrael. It's a nice place there, the Eretz Yisrael. It's even better than Eretz Yisrael. So you should cry a little bit, like Yedidim who fought from each other, but it's not, the world didn't come to an end. If a Nachri dies, you understand why he's about to cry, and the world came to an end as far as that person is concerned. But what am I telling Hashem, Elokeichem, what is this going to do? we are all Bnei Yisrael, and we, after a person dies, he just moves on to another place. That's how they used to say Pasha Pshat. Others say Pshat Tfaker. I think the Kliyokar on that pasuk in Dvarim says a different Pshat. Barim Atam L'Shan Kehim. You are all Barim La'amok, and therefore Lois is going to do, therefore you're not permitted to mutilate your body. That's what the pasuk means. It doesn't mean that the nifter was banim Hashem lakechem, therefore you don't have to cry salvation. It means that that's the reason why you're not allowed to mutilate your body. Whatever it is, it's a questionable pasuk. The pasuk in Dvarim says that that's the reason why we have a din of lois is good to do, lois is sima kach ben enechem lameis. The Torah prohibits kohanim from marrying an isha zayna. That's the question. How do you define what is an isha zayna? So the Gemara in the middle of Yevamis and Habor and Binta has a machlokes satanoim. The biggest machmer is the Tana Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar holds that Tana Habor Afnu Yashmo Vishem Ishus Asur Zayin. If a man is Boav Ha'isha Vishem Ishus is Mekadish B'viya. So she doesn't become a Zayin. But if Tana Habor Afnu Yashmo Vishem Ishus, Rabbi Lazar's opinion is that she becomes a Zayin. Do we pass on like Rabbi Lazar? So in the Gemara we have the Girsa in the Gemara that Lay Silva said to Rabbi Lazar. We don't pass like Rabbi Lazar. That's why it's in the Shulchan Aruch. But if a woman was Nivola, Stama, a girl, was a single girl, was Nizana, so she does not become a Asur Lekun. Rabbi Yerucham Perla in his commentary, in his long commentary on Sefer Mitzvah, the Rav Sadi Goren, says that we shouldn't jump so quickly to pass on like what it says in the Gemara and the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. He dug up a whole group of Rishayim. He always digs up. In between the lines, top of the lines, on the bottom line, whatever, he digs up all the archives. So he dug up from the regular Rishonim. It's not so weird. Here it's not so weird. Here he dug up from the regular Rishonim. A lot of Rishonim didn't have that use in the Gemara. And they thought that the din is like Rav Lazar. Anyway, that's he was our brother. We don't pass like Rav Lazar. That's the use that we have in the Shulchan Aruch. We don't pass in a part of our Shulchan Aruch. So the question is, so what is a Zayin? So if a woman, let's say, and Eshes Ish was Zinsan. That's called a Zayin. If that woman was Mazana Tachafayla, she became a Soika, she had to get divorced. Oh, so if she gets divorced, she'll be a Gusha, so the Kohen can't marry her anyway. Let's say the husband died. The husband hears his wife was Mazana, he gets a heart attack. Okay. Or let's say the wife was Nensa. Wife is Nensa. So the husband doesn't have to get divorced if he's not a Kohen. The husband doesn't have to get divorced. But he later on the husband dies, and after he dies, the woman is an almana, she wants to marry a Kohen. We don't have any Kohen of the other Mizana. So that woman is called a Zayna, even though she was Nensa. She wasn't Mizana Berotsin, she was Nensa. But since she was Nensa, Tachas Bailo, Achad increases. So that's called a Zayna. Or let's say a woman was Mizana with her brother, or with her father, or with her son. One of the Achad increases with an aunt. A nephew is Mizana with an aunt. Any one of the Achad increases, so that's called a Zayna. What if the woman is not Nivolo the Chadi Krisi? What if she was Nivolo the Chadi Eladin? Let's say the woman was Nivolo to Goy, yeah. Somebody in the neighborhood, I remember, was telling me this great Chochmah, that the woman tells me, I should be a rabbi, Shai. You think you know how to learn? You explain to me the following story. It tells me that a woman was married, and then she got divorced, and she got a get. And then she wanted to marry a Kohen, and none of the rabbis would allow her to marry the Kohen. Then she went to a big Talmud Chacham, and he gave her a head to marry the Kohen. Heichitim, how can it be? So he said, it's impossible. She said, no. He said, the big Talmud Chacham investigated and found out that the first husband was a Goy, and therefore the Kedushim was not Chal, and therefore there was no need for a get, and even though he gave a get to Ganesh, and Ganesh, that she deserved. So Pana Habal Abtuyah, Shalad Hashem Yishas, Asoza, and Loya Asoza, we don't pass like Ablaza. So that's why the big Talmud Chacham says that she was allowed to marry the Kohen. So I said that Nivul al-Akum is a Asur al-Akum. Never heard of that. So the Pharisee did Nivul al-Akum. Nivul al-Akum is not a Chavi Krisit. If the woman is Nivul al-Akum, Nivul al-Akholo, Nivul al-Akholo, she's permitted to marry a Cholo. A woman married a Cholo. A Kohen married a Grusha and had a son. Not an Andrei. Kohen married a Grusha and had a son. Normal Chavi Krisit. And his son is a Cholo. So the mother was a Grusha. And then a woman wants to marry the son. What's wrong? Anyone is allowed to marry a cholo? No, they are. Kohen is forbidden to marry a halala, but a kohen is permitted to marry a cholo. Certainly a levia, you say. Anyone is allowed to marry a cholo. There's no issue over there. But still, if the woman marries a cholo, she becomes a nivol on the puzzle of solo. Even though the marriage was beheta. That's Nivulul Apostle Psalah. That's what the Rambam in Hilchos Yisurin did. And he quotes these things from the Gemara. He quotes all the halachas. He says, let's say a woman doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha. A Jewish woman is married to a Jewish man, and she doesn't observe Taras HaMishpacha, so she's always in violation of an Isikaris of Diyas Nida. And then her husband died, and the Kohen wants to marry this woman. So the Rambam says she's permitted, the Rambam quotes from the Gemara, she's permitted to marry a Kohen, because she's an Amon, she's not a Dusa. She's Nivulul Apostle Psalah. She was in violation of Yisuri Kareis because of Nida. So he says, so what? That's not called Nivul of Apostle Psalah. He writes, Hola Marato, if he quotes all of him, he says, what you come to the realization is that Nivul of Apostle Psalah becoming a Zayinah has nothing to do with whether the deal was Baver or Beheter. It depends on whether the Gavre was Apostle. Nivul of Apostle Law, Psalah. If the Gavre has a Shem Sul, so if the woman is Nivul to a Cholol, which is Heter Gomer, she's permitted to marry a Cholol, but the Cholol has a Shem Sul on him. Nivul of Akum, Nivul of Mamzer, that's Nivul of Apostle of Psalah. So she's not permitted to marry a Kohen. But if the woman, let's say, was in violation of the Issa Nida, so that's not called Nivul of Apostle of Psalah. So how do you know that? Maybe Isha Zaino is only by Nivul of Achadi Krisis. How do you know even Nivul of Acholo, which is the Heter? But the Gemara learns that out from a different pasuk later. It says, Bas Kohen Kisi Liish Zar, He Betrumas HaKadosh and Lai Saicha. So the Gemara says, Kisi Liish Zar, the simple, the Pshuta Shalmikra, and that pasuk, Bas Ish Kohen Kisi Liish Zar, He Betrumas HaKadosh and Lai Saicha, means that a Kohen is permitted to eat Truma, but the minute she marries a non-Kohen, then you say, Ishta Kegufa, Ishta Kegufa, Baal Ki Ishta, Ishta Kebaila, and it's considered that she's no longer a Kohen. When her husband will, Bas Kohen Kisi Amon Agusha, if she'll become an Almana Gusha, she, the Bas Kohen, will no longer be married to the non-Kohen, then she reverts back to her status, that she's permitted to eat the Truma like before. The Kozman, that she's married to the non-Kohen, she's not permitted to marry Truma. That's the Pshut Rishon Mikra. Bas Kohen, Kisiyah Liyizdar, Kisiyah means Bahavaya, Tvisis Kiddushim, like Kisiyah and Aliyah Shtey Noshim. Kisiyah and Aliyah means that they're married. Here, Kisiyah Liyizdar, Kozman, that she's married to an Ishzar, means a non-Kohen, doesn't mean a Goy, means a non-Kohen. So you say, Isha Kibayla, and she's forbidden to eat truma. But the Gemara says in Yevamot that in addition to the Pshut Rishon Mikra, there's an additional level of interpretation on this pasuk, and it's alluding to this din of Nivul Ola Pasul La Psalah. And I needed to enhance this pasuk. From the pasuk Isha Zayin, I would have said that it only applied perhaps to Nivul Ola Chavi Krisis. If an Eishes Ish was named, so she was Nivul to her brother, or to her father, or to her nephew, something like that, one of the Chavi Krisis. How do you know Nivul Ola Chola, Nivul Ola Nasa, Nivul Ola Nasin? Nivul ala akum evet, so that you learn out from the other pasuk. Kisili yizar, kisili yizar, he betrumas hakadosh and lor sarchum. That's megala that she's also included in zayinah. So that's the definition of a zayinah. That's the definition. Then the Gemara says also that a zayinah is a geirus. A geirus is included in zayinah. Why is a geirus included in zayinah? So Rashi writes in a few places in Shas because the nochem ashtufe zimahen. So we declare every nachris as a zayin. What does that mean? That the shtuf is zim? What if the girl was not the nivul of the nachriyusa? What if she was in garif kusim bashal shani emechot? That then be also dios. It's impossible to say she was nivul before. So in the end of kiddushin, the fourth pair of kiddushin, you have asar yuchsin, you have all the dinim of yuchsin. The Gemara has a machlokes tachanayim about that. So we task, and one Tana says that if she's been garet kusim b'ashal shani emecho, the geirus took place before she was real abiyah, so she's meteris to marry kohen. We don't task like that. We task that even this garet kusim b'ashal shani emecho is also asura lakuna. The question is whether that's an isa derais and isa derabbanan. The simple reading in Gemara is the favorite that it's an isa derais. The Gemara says the kulam nikra echa darshu. The Gemara says the pasuk from today's aftera. All of their four sheets in Tanaim there, but when is a geiris asur lakuna? Let's say the father and the mother were geirim, and the daughter was harasa v'leidasa b'kedusha. The parents converted years ago, and they have a daughter now. The daughter was harasa v'leidasa b'kedusha. The one Tana says that that daughter is also forbidden to marry a kohen. And we don't pass them like that. L'chatchila, we're machmer like that, but the yevid in this is leitetli. If you already married a kohen, we wouldn't insist they have to get divorced, because that's only a chumra. Yikir adin is really mutam. So the Gemara had lists of four different sheets of Satana. And the Gemara says, V'kulam mikra echa dorsha. Sometimes the Gemara has, U'shneihem mikra echa dorsha. Sometimes the Gemara has, U'shloshtam mikra echa dorsha. Here it's four Tanoim. Four Tanoim are dealing with one pasuk in the Haseira of Emor. Ki mesulis nizere yisro yik klisha. Something like that. And the Gemara explains how each one of these four Tanoim read the Pasuk. So the simple reading of the Gemara, then the Gemara says with Sukkim and Chumash, the Pasuk Pshat and the Gemara is that we're dealing with an Issa Deraita. There are some Achrayim who wanted to say that this guy with Kusim Bashal Shamiyam Echor is Asura Lakuna, is only an Issa Midirabbanan. The Pasuk and the Gemara is not that. Even if it's an Issa Derabbanan, so it's only the Rabbah. So still, where did that lead you? What good is that? Rabbi Herzog, the final Rabbah, chief rabbi. Herzog has a long tshuv in the Heichal Yitzchak, where he keeps on pushing for this with all the Rashis and Shas, and he quotes these Achrayim, makes a big tzimmish about it. Shlomo Kluge has on the bottom of the page that Nez and others, they want to say that it's only the Rabbanan. If his guy were Kusin Ba Shal Shan Yamechal, even his guy were afterwards, if you know the Yadua Shalai Nivol or some Achrayim want to say that it's only Yerush, it's only Asurim of the Rabbanan. It's very cheap. So therefore what? So it's the Rabbanan. So it doesn't help too much. If some want to say, the Pesach Shuvah quotes to the son, Ebenezer. Some want to say that it's only the Rabbanan, then there's a Mokum Lahakyot is Manazeh, because all the Kohanim is Manazeh, wrongly stopping Kohanim. So it's the sake of the Rabbanan Lakul. The sake of the Rabbanan Lakul, it's also not correct. It's also not correct. For two reasons. First of all, the Gemara and Yivamis has such a thing. That, Chalutza is only with the Rabbanan. A kohen is not permitted to marry a grusha that's an Issa Deraita. The fact that a kohen is not permitted to marry a chalutza is only the Rabbanan. The Gemara has a drash on the pasuk, Isha grusha, Isha loikov, any other grusha, chalutza, minayin kal malayim, and so on. I read where you say the Gemara says that that's only an asmachim with the Rabbanan. That's not drash gemura. Chalutza is only asmachim with the Rabbanan. But then the Gemara says, Nivam, that once you know that's true, the Gemara proves it from a mission. So from there, it's chalutza, ain't a medivay terah, ala medivay terah. A mission you vomit like that. The Gemara says, once you know that chalutza is only asurim de rabbanon, so what would be the din if a kohen went ahead and by mistake, by accident, whatever, the sheik even makes it, the kohen went ahead and he married a girl who's a sofik chalutza. Lichatchila, you wouldn't allow him to marry the sofik chalutza, but for the evidence, if he already married the sofik chalutza, you would say that in this is leitei, so he wouldn't have to get divorced. So the Gemara talks about a kohen marrying a sofik chalutza, but the evidence is leitetze. So this is a group of achrayim want to say that if a sofik kohen, if today all the kohanim are sofik kohanim, so if a sofik kohen marries one of the suri kohanim that are only with the rabbanon, a sofik kohen marries a vaday chalutza. Chalutza is only with the rabbanon. So the Gemara has, if a vaday kohen marries a sofik chalutza, then this is leitetze. So the Pesachim Shuvah quotes the earlier Achronim wanted to say that if a Kohani Chazokah is Manazeh, Sofik Kohanim. So if a Sofik Kohanim marries a Chalutza, it'll also be the same din. And this is like this. But it'll only be the Eved, it won't be Lechatchila. It won't be a Hetzel Lechatchila. And even that, the later Achronim held that was wrong. That Kohani Chazokah is Manazeh, considered Vada Kohanim, they're not considered Sofik Kohanim. The halacha that says, the Pesach in Sefer Ezra, in Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah is the same sefer. When it says there that Ezra insisted that they have to find the Ksav Yichas before they do Avodas HaKorbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. And those who were searching for the Ksav Yichas, the Bitch of Ksav Mahamasiach, the Melo Masov, and the Goal of Min HaKuhuna, they were rejected from the Kunim because they couldn't find a Ksav Yichas. So the Gemara says that we learn after that Tosik that only a Kohen Yichas is permitted to do HaKorbanos HaKorbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. I mentioned Rabbi Tanner said that his son-in-law, Shapsi Rakaport, Rosh Yeshiva in Efrat, the big yeshiva there, is a kohen miyuchas. Not only from his father-in-law and his grandfather-in-law, but from his father's father. Apparently he's a kohen miyuchas. Okay, he has a ksav yuchas, but he's really a descendant of Aaron HaKohen. So he can, if the little of the Beis HaMikdash, he'll be permitted to do HaKorbanos HaKorbanos. So the question is, that din that we require a kohen miyuchas and a kohen shenim miyuchas is not accepted, is that a din d'oraita or is that a din d'rabbanan? So many of the early Achrayim assumed that that's a real sake of deraisa. The Kohani Chazok, as the Gemara calls it, Kohen, whom we assume is a Kohen, but he can't really give us a Ksav Yichas to show Ben Aha Ben, who was his father's father, all the way back, and so on. So he's not a Kohen Yichas, came to Avodah. So they always assumed that Sofik, that Kohani Chazok are Sofik Kohen. The later Achrayim said that it wasn't so. When Tzvi Hirsch Kalosha was interested, when he had his cholok, so he wanted to buy up the Mokum HaMikdosh, he wanted, I think, Baron Rothschild, no? If I'm not mistaken. I think he wanted Baron Rothschild. That he printed an open letter to Baron Rothschild in the Sefer Gishas Zion, that he should put up the money to buy the Makom HaMikdash from the Arabs, and we should build the Beis HaMikdash, and reinstitute HaKorbanos HaKorbanos. And the Rambam says, not only, you see, sometimes you encourage a guy to donate money, we'll put up a plaque. Sometimes you have to say, we'll name the whole campus after you. If you give more money, we'll name the whole campus. And sometimes we'll make you the Melech HaMashiach. That was what his offer was. So he said, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim that whoever will build the Beis HaMikdash will be instrumental in building the Beis HaMikdash, the Shemi Institute, and HaKrovos HaTavanos. It'll turn out that that name will be the Melech HaMashiach. So that's what Rav Tzvi Hishkalish sent in his letter to, I think, to Baron Rothschild, if I'm not mistaken. That, read it to him at the Matzahfuhrer. I think it was Rothschild. Huh? I don't remember. That put up the money to buy. He didn't know that it wasn't for sale. He didn't know that there was a mask there. He thought, we'll buy it. We'll build a Beit HaMikdash. And we even make you the Melech HaMashiach. That was the offer that he made. So he had to explain how we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. How do you know where, what, when, how? So he says, Kitchelos Ilava, like Kitchelos Lava, Ahina, here he makes a whole cheshbon with the Kohanim, and with the Chelus, and with the Big Nikuna. Then it's safe he tries to solve all the issues, which he doesn't really do such a good job on that. But later, Gdolim pointed out, that a lot of, they found a lot of holes in his Rishat scene. So one of the issues was, how will you find enough Kohanim to man the Beis HaMikdash? You have to have Kohanim Yuchasim. So he was mechadish at that din that you need. Kohen Yuchas is only a chumim in the Rabbanon. It's not a din min haTorah. The Gemara doesn't have a pasuk in Chumash. The only pasuk is in Sefer Ezra Nechemiah. So he says that was instituted in the Rabbanon. Hechad Efsher. Hechad Olay Efsher is mutter to do avoda with Kohanim, with Kohanim Chazokah. So he was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eger. The Tzvi Hishkalish was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he sent it to Rabbi Akiva Eger, who was masking with him. Diksav. Then Rabbi Akiva Eger was the father-in-law of the Hasam Sefer. Hasam Sefer had three wives, one after the other. So his second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kiveger. I think Hasam Sefer is only 2 years younger, if I'm not mistaken. He's only 2 years younger than his than Rabbi Kiveger. So he, so Rabbi Kiveger sent this to the Hasam Sefer. He was also masking the Ksav. He was masking with a Priyish Kavashah. That the whole din of Kohanim Miyuchasim is only a Chumra Midirabbanah. And Hechad Eloyevshe, you can do Avodah with Kohanim Chazokah. So from then on, it was generally assumed, all the Gdolim assumed that he's right, that that Tzvi Hishkalish is right. But what the early Achrayim said is not correct, that Kohanim, that Kohanim Chazokah are only Sofei Kohanim. They assume it's not correct. Sometimes you find out, the Gdolim of Matreya, Kohanim Chazokah are not Kohanim. It's just not so. Like I was at an OU weekend just two weeks ago on Shabbos. So I was at different sessions where the Rabbanim were working on Shilas that they have. So most of the Shabbos are in Yana Yuchsin. About Geiris and Chalolos and Mamzeris and Saita Labailo and all these kind of things. The fathers are going, the mothers are going, so on. So then one rabbi was discussing his problem. That in his community they never had a Kohen to Duchana to get the first Aliyah. And then the rabbi before him in his community finally discovered, Baruch Hashem, that one of the Balabatim was a Kohen. Oh, they were so thrilled. So they made him a Kohen, and he has since, ever since, the guy comes to Shul all the time, he gets the first Aliyah, and he Duchens and he does Pidyon HaBen and the whole works. So now, after further investigation, they found out that his mother was Kohanim. His father was not a Kohen. His father was a Yisrael, his mother was Kohanim. Why in the world did they think that he was a Kohen? Because when he was born, they didn't make a Pidyon HaBen. Come a Gvur B'Gemarion, in Shulchan Aruch, that if the mother's a Kohen, you don't make Pidyon HaBen, even though the father's not a Kohen. But it's not because the mother's a Kohen, and therefore the kid is a Kohen. It was a mistake. The previous rabbi knew how to learn, but he didn't investigate enough. He heard someone said they didn't make Pidyon HaBen because he was a Kohen. So the rabbi jumped to the conclusion that he was a Kohen, so he can do it. It's not so. His mother was a Kohen. So that's why they didn't do Pidyon HaBen, but the kid was not a Kohen. So sometimes Kohen HaZok turned out not to be Kohen at all. But we don't assume that there's Sofei Kohen. Whenever you have a Kohen HaZok, we assume that it's a Vadei Kohen. Therefore there's no room to be Mekel on anything. Even if you have an issue, which is only with the Rabbanon, like a Chalutza, you won't be Mekel. You won't be Mekel on that. And even if you have a Sofei, the Gemara says that a Kohen with a Sofei Chalutza is not permissible to Chatzkila to marry him. And this is like Teitzei. That's all the Gemara says in Yivamis, but Chatzkila it is us. In the Gemara, there's another Tana. There's the opinion of another Tana, Rabbi Kiva, if I'm not mistaken, he says, what if you have a girl who's a prostitute, not, even if she doesn't do it for money. This week she has a date and she's on it with this guy. The other week she has a date and she's on it with the other guy. Every week she's on with someone else. She tries them all out to see which one she likes. So one Tana in the Gemara holds that that's called a Zayna. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't pass them like that. They pass them that a Zayna is only a Surah Lakuna. If she's nivela l'pasul l'psalim, you nivela to chavi krisis, or nivela to akum ebek cholol nasin mamzer. But she's always makted to be nivela to Yisraelim, and she knows that none of the Yisraelim were chalolim, or nesinim, or gerim, or anything like that, then the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that she'll be moteres l'kuhuna. The Beis Shmuel, on the side of the Ebenezer, says that even though that's what it says in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, but since other Rishayim disagree, the smag and the smak, and they say you have to be choshish for Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Gemara just says, Shmamin aleif dechosh mehode Rav Loza. The Gemara says there is nobody who's worried about Rav Loza's shita, that pone habo al apnuya shalom yisem nishus hasozen. The Gemara doesn't say leif dechosh mehode Rav Akiva. The Gemara doesn't say we ignore Rabbi Akiva's opinion that zayna kipshuta. That is, she's mizana with different people all the time. She's mizaret mekuna. So that's what the Beis Shmuel says, that the proper thing is to be choshish for the opinion of the other Rishonim who pass like the other Tana, that if the girl is Nizana indiscriminately with different people, even if it turned out that they were all Yisraelim, she should also be Asura L'Kuhuma. The Akhredim have discussions on this, Rav Shlomo Kluger and Halach L'Chol Shlomo and others discuss, they say it depends. They say, let's say the girl has one boyfriend for a history year, and she's very medactic, only Nizana with him. And then the next year she has a different boyfriend. Next half year she has a different boyfriend. She's only Mizana with him. But then they say that wouldn't be, then the Chumra wouldn't apply, the Bishmos Chumra wouldn't apply. So only if indiscriminately, every week there's someone else, she's not didactic at all. But if she's didactic for an extended period of time. No, let's say they never intended to get married, they never intended the same tradition. A couple of years ago, the local prostitute from the corner where I live, she's a Jewish woman. So she rings my bell, and my wife wasn't home. She rings my bell in the morning, I was ready to drop dead. Everybody in the neighborhood knows who she is. And she said to me, very pleased to dressed up, came to speak to the rabbi. Rabbi, she was recommended, she tells me who. A guy used to learn in yeshiva, lives on the neighborhood. She was recommended, I'm the one to speak to. And she tells me there's a certain man who was in Zana with her, and he gave her money for the znus. He paid her for the znus. And there were even witnesses, there were other women watching when he paid her for the znus. And this man is going to marry someone else tonight. He wants to know, isn't that man married to me? Because he gave me money to be in Zana with me. So how can we allow, the rabbi should prevent this man from getting that? But I'll pay under that man of Gershon. I told her, you can be make it. It was not Kiddushin. She said it was L'Shem Z'nus. She said the theory. She was known that it was Mizana with the L'Shem Z'nus. It wasn't L'Shem Kiddushin, and the Eidim were women, and there were no Kosher men. So there's no Chayim under that man of Gershon. The Gemara has an interesting comment in the end of Kiddushin. The Gemara has a comment in the end of Kiddushin on Pasuk Yud Dalet by the Kohen Gadol. It says not only is the Kohen Gadol forbidden to marry a Grusha, he's forbidden to marry an Amana. So the Pasuk says, Amana Grusha v'chalola zayna zayla lo ikah, kim tula miyam avikach isham. So the Gemara has a comment that it's written in that order, first Almana, and then Grusha, then Chalola, and then Zayna, to teach you that if it's Keseder Azed, then Isha Chalalisa. Let's say a Kohen Gadol lives with a woman who's an Almana. So he's like it, he's about a love. Let's say he lives with a woman who's a Grusha. He's like it. What if he lives with a woman who is an Almana from one husband and a Grusha from another husband? So the Gemara discusses, does he get once Malchus or twice Malchus for the one deer? Does he get once Malchus or twice Malchus? So the Gemara says, well, it's an issue of Issa Chalalisa. We usually have a din of Issa Chalalisa with a few exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara says, at first she was an Almana. At first she was an Almana, and then from the first husband. And then later she married a Kohen Hedyot, and he divorces her, she became a Grusha. So Grusha is an Issa which is more inclusive than Almana, because Almana is only Asur L'Kohen Gadol. Grusha is Asur even the Kohen Hedyot. So that's called Easter, Chalal Easter, because the second Easter is an Easter, what's it called? It's an Easter Kailo. It's an Easter Christ. It's an Easter, how do you call it? Vices. I think it's Moshe, but I'm not sure. You've got to look in the Gemara again. We're at total of Moshe. The second Easter applies to more people. The second Easter applies to more people are forbidden to violate the second Easter than the first Easter. So since Grusha applies to all the Kohanim and Yoitim in the world, so even the Kohen Gadol who was already asked to marry this girl because she was an Almana, from the first husband, I said, the Easter Chal al Easter, because Nigu, that the Easter Grusha came second, was Chal Gabi, all the other Kohanim in the world, so Chal Gabi the Kohen Gadol as well. That's called an Easter Moisi, the Gemara. And then the Gemara says, what if she becomes a Halala later on? What if she becomes a halala later on? How can a woman become a halala? Usually a halala is by birth. If the Kohen marries a grusha, so the children are halala. How can a woman, after marriage, she was married already second time, she becomes a halala after she was born? Born again. Born again, do. How can she become a halala? The marriage is another kind of halala. It's nivola lepasala. If the woman is nivola by kainer, kain hegir, or kain gadol, so that's another kind of halala. The Marsha says halala of leida and halala of diya. So if she becomes a halala after having become a grusha, then I also say that the iser of halala, the psul of halala, which is kal on her now, is more inclusive than the almana and the grusha. Because almana grusha is forbidden to marry a kohen. Almana is forbidden to marry a kohen gadol. But they are permitted to eat truma. Let's say there was a girl who was a kohenis, her father was a kohen, she's a kohenis, or she's a bas kohen, whatever you call her. She's allowed to eat truma, however you slice it. And then she became an almana or a grusha. So she's still permitted to eat truma. It says, you see almana grusha, the shavah beis aviyah. She's permitted to eat truma. But what happens if she became nivola the pasala? Let's say the kohenes who was allowed to eat truma was nivola, became a grusha, and then she was nivola to a kohen. Nivola to a kohen the yisra. So then she becomes a halala, like they deal. So the Gemara says that that's also called yisra, halal yisra, with an Easter Moisif, that Migu, that the new Easter is more inclusive, that it eats even Chalagabi, the Gabi Achilas Truma, so I say it's even Chalagabi Koin and Lagabi Koin Hegel. But if it goes in this order, you say Easter Chalal Easter, and the Koin Gadol is balled out once, and he's like it three times. And then if she becomes a Zaina later, the fourth Easter is Chal. How does she become a Zaina later? Let's say she's Nivola by her brother. Nivola by Nivola Azaina, Nivola the Chadikrit, Nivola the Akum, Nivola the Ebed, Cholol, Nasim, Mamza, those kind of people. Why is that? What's the Issa Chalal Issa over there? So that's taka strange. The Gemara, the end of Kiddush, gives a tam that is. You have to understand what it is. The Gemara says that the Shem Zaina appears by Yisrael also. It's called an Issa Maitreb because the Issa Zaina exists by Saita Labaila. And the Meshach says she's in the Tachas Baila Beratzon, she's Ashur Labaila, that's an Issa Saita. The Gemara says the Issa Saita is a branch, it's related to the Issa Zayna Lekoyen. Isn't that a totally unrelated? The Gamri is different. This is Lekoyen and that's Labaila. And this is, that's only Beratzon and this is Issa Zayna. And that's some different. The Gemara says basically it's the same, but there are two branches of the same thing. So Migu, that's the Shem Zayna. Asa sometimes in Israel under other circumstances, therefore this Shem Zaino is considered more inclusive than the other Shemas that she has. The Isa Ramana is only the Kangal, the Isa Grusha is more inclusive even the Kohen Hegit, the Psula Chalol is even the Gabi Achilas Truma, and the Shem Zaino, which is Chal on top of the first three, is even the Chal sometimes in a different form, in a different branch of the prohibition, the Gabi Yisrael, so the Seder Azeh will be Chal. So the Gemara Darshan is the way the Seder is written in the Chumash. The problem is, like the Ibn Ezra that we start off with, by the Kohen Hegit is written in a different Seder. So how does the Gemara know that the Medayik this Pasuk and not that Pasuk? Anyway, that's Halacha. That's Halacha. The Kohen Gadol is walled a woman once, and he's like it four times, like Yisra Chal Alisa, Alisa. The Gemara says, in the end of Mach, sometimes a person eats, the Gemara says, eat the trace of fish, and he gets six times Malka. Well, has sometimes eaten non-kosher food, yet many times malchus because of the case of Issa Chal al Issa. Here the Gemara says this is one of them. The simple reading of the Pesukim indicates that the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe any Averus. HaKohen HaGadol Me'echov, Es Roshu Lo Yifrov, Gadol Lo Yifrov, Kol Nasus Meis Lo Yavol, Olim Lo Yitam, and Megdish Lo Yetzei. He doesn't observe Averus at all. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. Right cut the beginning of Eilam HaGafim. The simple pshat in Gemara that the Kohen Gadol does not observe Avelus at all, period. The Rambam writes not so. A Kohen Gadol is the same as anybody else that he observes Avelus at the Achrayim, yes, but the Rambam is against the Gemara. So yes, the Rambam is against the Gemara. So some of the Achrenim say, you stay in the Teretz, that the Rambam held that we don't pass them like that Gemara because there's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin Sakir. What does the Mishnah say? I mean, right away it's wrong. The Teretz is right away wrong. What do you mean? Is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin against the Gemara? If you have a Gemara against the Gemara, Mishnah against the Mishnah, so you say, Machloike Satanai, Machloike Samarai. You can't have a Gemara, it's a Gemara from Amarai, that's Sukkiah. The Gemara might cut and says the Kohen Gadol doesn't observe Avelis, and there's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin against the Gemara, and might cut and say right away the Teretz is wrong, whatever it's going to be, it's wrong. So that's what some Achrayim say. It could even be that they, I think it could be that they call the Teretz Riyadus something like that. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Imri Bina on Yeridaya, there's a Sefer Imri Bina that they probably have in the base matter. Just stay in the Sefer, it's a running commentary on the Shach and the Taz. That's how it goes, and it gives Perushim. So at the end of the Imri Bina on Yeridaya has their Oris, Kedusha Torah on Shach. So one of them is, he quotes the same as Kasha. What does Ram do with the Gemara? So if I'm not mistaken, he quotes this from the Tesis Rit somewhere. But that's the Ram on the Gehalten that we don't pass on the Gemara because of the Mishnah in Sanhedrin Fakir, which right away doesn't make sense. You can't have a Mishnah against the Gemara, you gotta be Miyashim. So what is the Mishnah in Sanhedrin that says Fakir? The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that Meis Lameis, second paragraph in Sanhedrin, has all the Dinim of Melech and the Dinim of Kangol. So it says Meis Lameis, it's a relative to Kangol Dai, so he says it doesn't go out of the Beis HaMikdush, and what does he do, and so on. And then it says that they have Nicham Avelim and they have Sudas Havroah for the Kangol. The Mavrin also, when they give him the Sudas Havroah, how do they give him the Sudas Havroah? So that's what the Medina, I think, quotes in the Tesis Rish. And the Rishon that you see that the Mishnah holds against the Gemara, that there is Avelis for the Kangol. Yeah. Remember when we learned Sanhedrin, on Soloshik said, he didn't even present it as a So you see that they're unrelated. Nicham Avela has nothing to do with Avela. Take the Marshal, Meis Lameis Regel. Someone dies on Yontif. And the Kippur is on the first day Yontif. The second day Yontif, comes right, whenever. So you have Nicham Avela. You have Nicham Avela, and there's no Nihug Avelis at all. Nihug Avelis cannot begin until after Yontif is over. The Rambam's opinion is you don't even have Dron Shabbatzina. No, he's on Yontif. So his opinion is you do have Dron Shabbatzina. Rambam, you don't have Dron Shabbatzina. But Nicham Avelim you do have. Nicham Avelim is totally unrelated to Nihug Avelim. The different Indian in Gans. Nicham Avelim is Ben Olam HaVeiro to make him feel good. And the same thing Sudas Havro. The Mishnah said that you have Sudas Havro on Chalamari. The Perish. Perish says in Shabbat you have Sudas Havro on Yontif. But Chalamari says the Perish you have Sudas Havro. How can you have Sudas Havro on and in Abdicham Avelim and something else. So the fact that the Kangodl has to the Tavroa and he has Nicham Avelim is not a kasha to the din and the Gemara. And the Pashtus is that the din that the Gemara says is the simple reading of the Pashtus. It says, Kohen Avgodl Me'echov, it's Rosh Al-Yifam, Godl Me'echov, Kamash is Meis Le'yov, Lino Le'itam, and Megdush Le'yetzi. That's the simple mashmoz of the Pashtus. That he doesn't observe any Avelis at all. The other people, Kol Shach, Kohen, Yitami, Loha, Obel, Mesab, Lola, that rises. In the third paragraph, my cut, Gemara holds that the din of Lo Yitama Chayvor is an aspect of Nihug Avelis. And the Kangolov doesn't do that. It means he doesn't observe Avelis. And Gemara gives the reason why the Kangolov doesn't observe Avelis. So the Gemara says, Min Amigdash Lo Yetze, he's supposed to be in the base Amigdash all the time. That's the Rasa. Rachi used to explain on that Gemara that the reason. The Gemara says the reason why one does not observe Nihug Avelis on Yontif is because Yontif has a Chiyav Simcha. And us, in Chiyav Simcha and Chiyav Avelis are attached to the Sasri. So which one wins? When there's a conflict, so who wins? So the Gemara says Simchas Yontif is an Esed Derabin. The whole part of the soul is Mechayim Simchas Yontif. And Avelis is only whoever died. So the relatives have to observe Avelis. So the Gemara says, Osi Esed Derabin. V'dochi yasid yachol is like koel ala moisif, like yisachal alisa. Which one is strongest? If the second din applies in other cases, it applies to more people.
It's
much more inclusive. So of course it's chal on the first thing too. So here also, the Esther Yav Yontif is chal on the whole Klal Yisrael. Chal on everybody. So how can you say it's not chal on me? I'm part of Klal Yisrael. Also yes it's the Rabbi, but also yes it's the office. So that's why Simchas Yontif takes precedence. The Gemara says it's plain gottel. Kol Hashanah Kulo Ki Yisrael Baregel Domi. Just like Yisrael Baregel. Has a Chiyiv Simcha, which is Deicha Dedin of Avelis. So plain gottel all year long. Has a Chiyiv Simcha, which is Deicha Dedin of Avelis. Why do you have a Chiyiv Simcha? So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. That's the sound from the Pesukim. I mean, Amigdash Layetze. Because the Rambam writes in Hilchas Klei Amigdash, you have to appoint a Kohen Gadol. Uchvodav is the Farta Shal HaKohen Gadol, he is Yeshev B'Migdash Kol HaYoyim. Yeshev is a little Avdach, he's not allowed to sit in the Azorah, even if Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit. It means the Kohen Gadol's job is to be in the Beis Amigdash all the time. So whenever one is Lefnei Hashem, that's Mechayiv and Adin of Simcha. So I'm Shalva Shugolim, Vesmachtam Lefnei Hashem Lekechem Shilas Yom. There's a Chiyiv Simcha because everybody has a Chiyiv for the Yerla Regel. And not on Shalosh Golem, there's no chiyuv to be with Hashem, so there's no chiyuv simcha, but the Ten Golem, there's no chiyuv to be a Migdush all day long. What is the Fata Kol Gam Biyat and Migdush Kol HaYom? And that's the Pasuk, now Migdush Lo Yetze. So he's always with Hashem. That's the Losh and Gemara. Ten Golem Kol Hashem Kulo Ki Yisrael Baregel Domi. So that's why the Gemara says, the Ten Golem doesn't observe of it. The Ramam is against the Gemara. Shver Ramam.
I don't know which Gemara is, but it describes me that Ramam goes through the streets and comes up and goes by
block behind, right, that's the Mishnah in Sanhedrin.
So he doesn't
leave, the Machlokes is Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir in the Mishnah. One time it takes the Pasuk literally. Min HaMikdash means from the Holy Temple. Lo Yetzi, he's not permitted to leave the structure, the building of the Beit HaMikdash. The other time it says Mikdushasa Lo Yetzi. The word Mikdash doesn't mean Beit HaMikdash. Yes, so out of Kavod HaMeis, he goes a little bit, but he's not allowed to come anywhere near the Yoreh. So the Pasuk means there should be a block behind. That's the machloket tatanah, and how to translate the pasuk. Or min hamigdash lo yetze means mi beis hamigdash, or mi kedushaso lo yetze.
I'm a little sure
about probably not, but he's not mechuyev to be a mikdash. The Mishnah Sanhedrin says that what? It's talking about a Kohen Gadol she'ovar. It's not talking about a functioning Kohen Gadol. Could be, okay. But the Mishnah Sanhedrin doesn't really say that he has Avelos. It just says that one has Ro'ah Nicham Avelos. Which you have a Chalamoi. No, Ro'ah Nicham Avelos, you have a Chalamoi. It says, Mamish no Kash. The Mishnah and Chayrus, you have around 3-4 prokim list off all of the mumim that pasul kohanim. Very detailed. You have around 3 prokim about mumim and behemoth. That's the next parsha. Mumim and behemoth, and then you have mumim and adam. Is it just one period? And then the Mishnah has is another din also learned that in the pasuk. That dova hashove is chol zarish al aharay. There are two dinim. The din of the kohen is a balmum. He's not allowed to do avoda, and if he's not shove the zarish al aharay. He's not the same as everybody else. What's the difference for Locha Lamaisa? So the difference will be, what about B'diyevet if he did Avodah? If he's a Balmum, even B'diyevet Avodah is possible. He's just not Shavah B'zara Shavah. He's not normal. His body is a little irregular. So then B'diyevet Avodah will not be Mechulalot. What's an example of any Shavah B'zara Shavah? So the Mishnah has an example. Ashvai, it's a coin. A black coin. So he's not a Balmum, but he's not Shavu B'Zara Shalom. So the Hatzid is not allowed to do Avodah, so to the Yevid, it wouldn't possible. Then the Mishnah says, eat there, a left-handed Kohen, not allowed to do Avodah. Such a discussion in Rishonim, why? So one day in Rashi is that he's a Balmum, all the lefties are Balmum. Another day I think is that he's not Shavu B'Zara Shalom. They're not Bali Mumin, but they're not normal. They're not abnormal, but they're not normal. And the other day in Rashi is neither of the above. It's just that the Avodah has to be done by Yamin. And he doesn't have a Yamin, because you have to have Yamin means this side of the body, and Yamin means like by Tfilin, the stronger arm. So you need that it should be both Yamin Beruchas and Yamin Bekayach. It should be the right side of the body, and it should be the stronger arm. So he has this side is Yemin Beruach and that side is Yemin Bekoyach. So you don't have it, he doesn't have a right hand to do Avodah. But that's why it would be possible even B'di'evet. So I think there are three Pshatim in the Rishonim why the Mishnah says in the end, towards the end of Koris, after listening of all the Balamunim, it says that a lefty is not allowed to do Avodah. Would that apply to Duchanim? I don't think so. You mean a lefty shouldn't do it? No. No, Bali Mumin are permitted to do it. The only Bali Mumin is not allowed to do it is Nishiesh Lumumin, the Yodo, or the Raglov, or the Panov. That's the Mishnah Megillah. He's not allowed to do it because we are afraid of Zerim the Rabbon, that people will start staring at him, and then when they stare at him, so they're going to look at his hands, and you're not allowed to stare at the kind hands when he do it. So the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch that whole thing doesn't apply if in your community the Kohanim cover over their heads with the talis. But here he doesn't even have it just because he's if he's a Shvarzer Kohen, maybe they'll stare. That maybe will attract everybody's attention. But again, if he covers over his hands with the talus, there's no problem. But he's a lefty. How does anybody know who's a lefty? They won't stare. Then the Torah has all the dinim that a Kohen is not permitted to do Avodah when he is in a state of Tumah, whether it's a Tumas Magor, a Tumah Yosel HaMigufoy, whether he's a Zav, or he's a Metzorah, or he touched the Sheretz, or a Meis, any kind of a Kohen Tami is forbidden to do Avodah, and even with the Yevet. But even if he does the Avodah with the Yevet, it would be possible. That's the Mashmos of the Pesuk. Then it has a din, the Veilo, Trefa Lo Yochel HaTom Avodah, Ani Hashem. As a Nevelu Trefa Lo Yoichal Atom Avo, a Kohen is forbidden to eat non-kosher food. Nevelu Trefa Lo Yoichal Atom Avo. Pilei Floyd. There's such a pasuk in the Haftarah also. But the Kohanim have to be careful not to eat non-kosher, not to eat Nevelu. So the Gemara asks on that pasuk, what do you need a pasuk to be Mazer the Kohanim not to eat the Vela? So the Gemara says, I need Azar Pasuk because a carbon chatas is eaten only by Zichri Kuna. So you have chatas then, you have chatas oi. Chatas oi, if you don't do shkita with a knife, you have to do malika be etzba, you have to do malika with the coin, the gufish of coin. And the Mishnah says in Chulin, hakosha be malika pasuk be shkita, hakosha be shkita pasuk be malika. If you'll do, let's say, shchita on a behemas chulin or an oak chulin with your fingernail, it'll be possible with the evid. Because shchita has to be done with tolish. And if you do malika with a knife, it'll be possible with the evid. Malika has to be done with gufa shalkoin. It has to do malak bimin. Because malak the small is also not good. Malika has to be done with the fingernail of the coin on his right hand. You need dafka malika the etzba shalkoin, with his fingernail. So the Gemara says that Kohanim eat chatas o'oi, which is done like day malika, which is absolute nevela. So the Torah says, "Why am I permitted to eat nevela?" So now the tema, a kohen is allowed to eat nevela. So if you can eat nevela, you can eat treifas. Because the whole prohibition of treifa is that treifa is chilas nevela. The Rambam writes, treifa, the animal was half dead before you shechted it. Nevela is in ganzen dead. It died without a proper shechita, and treifa it was half dead when you shechted it. It's all on the way to becoming a nevela. But the kohen is permitted. The Torah says the parish, a kohen is permitted to eat nevela. So the Gemara says that's why the Novi has to be mazer the Kohanim, that they're forbidden, they shouldn't make such a mistake. No, they're forbidden to eat Nevela. Taka, why? Aye, but the Torah says they're permitted to. The Gemara says, no! Melikasa zui shchitasoi. It's not that, notwithstanding the fact that chatasoi is a Nevela, they're still permitted to eat it. No, chatasoi is a lone Nevela. Melikasa zui shchitasoi. When you do a melika on a chatasoi, that is the shchita, like in the Midbar, Nechira was Nechirasa Zui Shchitasoi. Or Tchiyasa Latuk Zui Shchitasoi by the Soyer HaMishpaleach. The Rabbi Natam holds like that. I think the Gemara has like that, not the Rabbi Natam. It's like the Gemara in Shnei Sirei, at the end of Yuma. It says the famous, Tchiyasa Latuk Zui Shchitasoi. The Gemara says, there's a din of Osev Yed Beno. There's a din of Osev Yed Beno, even on Korbanis. And it even applies if you'll, let's say, use the soya lazazel will be one of the osed esbenon. The other one will be one of the carbonates that you bring in the Beis HaMikdash on that day. The din of osed esbenon only applies if you shech both of them. If you shoot one of them or if it bleeds to death, you choke it to death, or you electrocute it as some other form of killing the animal, there's no din of osed esbenon, only if you do shechita. So if you push it over the cliff, the osed atzuk, that's not shechita. Mor says no. Since the Torah prescribes that that's the way you have to do the avodah, so that's considered the proper form of killing the animal. That's called shechita. Shechita means the proper form. Malika is the approved form by Chatas Oyv, and Nechira was the approved form in the Midbar. Nechira was the doing shechita also. And Manu Hasina, they were given the prohibition of Nevela. So how can you say that they were permitted? One time it says they were permitted to eat Besan Nechira in the Midbar. How can it be? So the answer is, Tosha says Nechira was the doing shechita. Some Tanoim and some Rishonim passing al Halacha, the Maharam Rutenberg, the end of Yuma, the Rosh, the end of Yuma, because Maharam Rutenberg says that Ein Shechita Loif Min HaTorah, permitted to eat Oif without Shechita. So Tosfos says, how can it be? But if it didn't, Nibla Saifto HaMetami HaBeis HaBliyah, the fact that it's possible, they will say, Loif HaTomavo. How can you say that there's no Din Shechita Loif Min HaTorah? How is there a Din in Nibla Saifto? Tosfos says, no, you don't need all the Chomish of Shechita. If Meisa Meileh, it will be awesome. If you shoot the bird, it's going to be awesome. If you elect, you shoot the bird, it will be also bachila. If you do nechira simanim minat savor, if you take a stone, you cut off the head, so that'll be good minat teira. Nechira sezul ishkitosa. That's also a form. The Rabbi Natam that I mentioned, that's the Rabbi Natam. He says by egla rufa. He says harifas sezul ishkitosa. Rabbi Natam is mechadis. Just like by nechira salatzuk sezul ishkitosa. That's a gemara. So the same applies to egla rufa. Is also harifas sezul ishkitosa. And other Balei HaTos things of the Rabbi Natan, that's a shame. But the Gemara says that's the pshat in the pasuk in the Navi. Why the Kohanim had to be warned not to eat Nevela, lest they'll make a mistaken thing, since the Torah allows them to eat Chatasai, the Mal B'Temo. Since the Torah allows them to eat Chatasai, the Mal B'Temo, they're permitted to eat all Nevelas. Because Chata Soif al Pidin is in Avela. So the Gemara says, no, Kamash Malan, no, that's wrong. By Chata Soif, by Yola Soif, Nechirat is Zui Shchitos Soif. The Malika, the Malikot is Zui Shchitos Soif, that's the form. So it's not an Isin Avela. That's why it's not an Isin Avela. The Nitzim, on this passage, has an interesting comment. On the Avela, Trefa Lo Yachal, Latom Avo, here it says, Latom Avo. Nevela, Trefa Lo Yachal, Latom Avo. This passage has something to do with Tumah. What does that do with Tumah? So the Netziv has in the Heinek Dover an interesting comment. He says that the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that you are permitted to bring a chatas oif habu al asafik. Let's say the woman is a safik zava, safik ain't a zava. So a zava only becomes tahira if she goes to the mikveh and she has harav shemesh, and then the next day, at least the next day, and maybe any time after the next day, she has to bring special kabbalah. That's called Mechusa Kippurim. That the Tahara is not completed with Tvila and the Mikveh, nor is it completed with the Tahara Shemesh. You have to bring kabbalah to be the Gemara of the Tahara. So what if the woman is a Sufik Zava, Sufik Ena Zava? Let's say a person is a Sufik Matur, Sufik Ena Matur. So what do? You're not. So bring the kabbalah to be Sufik. Some of the kabbalah you can bring a lot tonight. Let's say an Oilo, a Shlomim. So if you're not Mechuyim, so you bring a Matur and Zava, but a Chatos. One of the kabbanas that the Yoledis has to bring, or one of, let's say, a Sufik Yoledis. She's not sure whether she had a nafel, or she had a nafel that was a pregnancy of 40 days or before 40 days. Was it a nafel that's mechayv in the korban or not? Not sure if she was a zava or not. Whatever case, the Gemara has different cases. So she'll never become tahara because she can't volunteer to bring the chatos. That's ma'akev in the Gemara ha-tahara. One of the kabbanas mechusik kapar. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim that there is such an institution as chatos oif habo al asafik, even though it's a soft kulam azara. So it's exeret hakasuf that you're allowed to bring it. So the Netziv says and ma'u detaino that even there's exeret hakasuf that you're allowed to bring the chatos oif habo al asafik. So I would have thought, well, kohanim are permitted to eat chatos oif, even though it's a malika, and malika is really nevela because the Gemara says malika is a wishli tasek. That's the Gzeres HaKosu. When you do a Maliko and it's Kimitzvosoi and a Chatasoi, so Malikosu Zewish Chitasoi removes the Yisim Nevela. So one might have thought that a Chatasoi Even Chatzizot Bala Sofik is also a Pasuk. I would have thought Chatzizot Bala Sofik and Kohanim are permitted to eat as well. But that's what the Pasuk warns, no, Nevela Trefa Lo Yachol Atom Avor. Because he says, and Chatzizot Bala Sofik, the Gemara says, it's Karev Einan Echol. The Kohanim don't eat it because of the Sofik Nevela. So that's what the Pasuk says. They better not eat it, Lo Yachol, because they may become Tamei. Because if you eat a Nidla Seiftor, it's Mitamei Abeis Abliyah. The Gemara doesn't say that that's, the thief says that that's merumas in this pasuk. The Gemara doesn't say it's learned that in this pasuk. The Gemara just says in Tara Svara that it's Karavena Nechal. The Mishnah in the end of Yevamah compared to Orel has a lot of dinim. The Mishnah with the Gemara has a lot of dinim on these psukim in the end of Parshas Emor about Kohanim eating truma, Eishas Koyim eating truma, Abdi Koyim eating truma, Ebetnaini, not a Nebedivri. Toshiv Sachal Eichel goes on a Nebedivri. Ebedivri Shalkan is not permitted to eat truma, only a Nebetnaini. Koyim Kik Nefesh Kin Yakas, that's a Nebetnaini is allowed to eat. And about the B'nai Kohanim eating truma. So the simple pshat in the pasuk is, the Koyim Kik Nefesh Kin Yakas, but the Koyim buys a Nebetnaini, he's permitted to eat. The previous pasuk, Toshiv Sachal Eichel, that's the coin, Nebedivri of the coin, is Enger. Coin keeps an Abishkinian Kaspar, you buy an Ebekinani, who are called by? The elite Beso, and the children of the coin, Haim Yochlu Belachmo, they may eat the Truma. They may eat, that's the Pasha Pshat. The elite Beso, the children of the coin, they may eat the Truma. Or perhaps the elite Beso, the children of the Shikhot Nainis. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, the elite Beso shall the Pasit starts off. Koyin ki ikne nefesh kinyan kastos, the yilid base of the kinyan keser. Or does it go yilid base of the coin? The din is both true. Yilid base of the coin can eat truma because his children are kohanim. And yilid base of the kinyan kastos because the mother was a shikha, so the children are avadim tain. So they're also oichal b'truma. That's the pashuk shan. So then the Mishnah has an additional level of interpretation. The yilid base of Hein yochlu belachmo, you read it as if it's written yachilu belachmo. A new halacha that was, this is a Mishnayis and Yevamis, but what if a Kohen is married to a Yisraelis? This you read the pasuk from the beginning to the end with an additional level of interpretation. Kohen ki ikne nefesh kinyan kaspos, Marsha goes on a Kohen who's married to a Yisraelis. If he's married with Nisuin, then it's based on a different pasuk. Whenever you have Yisuin, the Kohen has Yisuin with the Yisraelis, that's based as a Zewishto. But if it's only Kohen Kik, Nefesh Kin Kash, it's only an Arusa, Arusa by Yisrael, Arusa the Kohen, so she's the Eishas Kohen is Achelos the Truman. Kohen Kik, Nefesh Kin Yakaspo, his wife, is permitted to eat. And what happens if the husband dies? The Kohen dies, so the wife is no longer permitted to eat, because she was never a Kohenish to begin with. Only because man she's married to the Kohen, she's allowed to eat. After he dies, she's not married anymore. But what if the Kohen was married to a Yisraelis and they had children? They had grandchildren, great-grandchildren? Even if the children are Kohanim, obviously, if the father is a Kohen, the children are Kohanim. But let's say he has daughters, and the daughters marry Levim or Yisraelim, and their grandchildren are non-Kohanim. So the pasuk says, V'yilid beiso heim yochlu belachmo, heim yachilu belachmo. They are machil, their mother or their grandmother, the truma. Means if a Kohen married Israelis and the Kohen died, so she's no longer allowed to eat truma, only if she has no children. But if she has children, or grandchildren, or great grandchildren can be mamzerim. They can be mamzerim, chalolim, whatever you want. But they're descendants of her husband, who was a Kohen, so it's considered ki'ilu. It's considered in a certain sense that the husband is still alive, so she's still called an Eishes Kohen, so she's permitted to eat truma. That's how the Gemara and the Mishnah understand like that. And it's a Torah Sanim on the Pasuk, the elite based on the children, and then the Mishnah holds that it's only Yolud Machil, Sheina Yolud Eina Machil. Let's say the girl was married to a Kohen, and she became pregnant with a child, and he died. And the child wasn't born yet. So when the child, even when the child will be born alive, then the child, whether a boy or a girl, will be Machil, the mother of the Truma. Because she's only pregnant, she's Eina Ochelos the Truma, because Yolud Machil, Sheina Yolud Eina Machil. This is the Mishnah Yevamah. If we drive, she's ain't our chelik b'truma.
If she has a child, everything's good. If she has a child, she also can end the child.
Right. Then the minute the child dies, then she's forbidden to have him, unless the child left descendants, so left grandchildren. Even if the grandchildren are mamzer and chalal and whatever, it doesn't matter. As long as there are descendants from the husband who was a kohen, so you can, it's an interesting din. You consider it as if the husband, in a certain sense, if the husband was still alive, and she's still an eishes kohen chelik b'truma. There's such a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. It's like this passage. The Mishnah has like this. Let's say my brother married a girl. So the girl is my sister-in-law. So two of them ladies. So this is the Gufa. And then my brother died. So am I still passing ladies to my former sister-in-law? We're no longer sister-in-law. The old Kuru was based on this is the Gufa. So once my brother dies, so she's not my sister-in-law anymore. So we passed in Mezlo and his Garsha once they got divorced. So once somebody dies, so they're not related anymore. The Rabbi Yehuda has a different sheet in the Mishnah Sanhedrin on Dab Chavdala, the third parish. He says, if they have descendants, Kozman, the descendants are alive, so it's considered as if, in a certain sense, if the marriage is still Kayam, and I'm still postulated to the sister-in-law. It's based on this passage. Based on this pasuk over here, that the pasuk says Yolud Machal, Sheni Yolud Machal, if they leave descendants who are alive, it's considered as if the girl is still married to the husband of the kohen. But the kodesh digadin. It's interesting that din that it says in the Mishnah that we just described, the girl is an Israelis, marries a kohen, as long as she's married to the kohen, she's permitted to tumah. Once her husband dies, she's not permitted to tumah, unless they have children or grandchildren descendants, she's permitted to. What if the husband divorced her? Is the din the same or not? Is that only if the husband died? But then as long as you have descendants, it's considered as if she still has the status of an anxious claim. What if he divorced her? Still considered as if they're married. He doesn't want to be married. If he died, he would really like to live forever. But what can he do? He can't. But if you have descendants, it's considered as if she's still alive. He loves his wife. What can he do? So, it's Rahman Apache, he's dead, he's in the barrack. But if he's a Girsha, so what do you mean? He's divorced. But you say, once he's divorced, it doesn't help enough. It doesn't save the favorite. It's the Dion in Achronim. And the Dion is in the end of Nadarim, on an obscure missionary. Rabbi Yankee Feminin has a comment, and others pick on him. So Dion, if they dug up a sheet in Kubet, is the end of Nadarim Valley. It's the Shara that was discussed in the 20th century. In Europe, they had a Torah general, Yagel Torah, I think, one of those. But they discuss it over there. There isn't too much literature on that topic.
In the first case, where a basketball marries an Ishtar, there is Amon Obrusha.
Yeah, that's a Zeferish, right. Amon Obrusha, you have to have Zera Eimla, right. Maybe you should make a parallel, right. That's what they discuss. Should you make a parallel or not? Then the Torah has the dinim that when you bring korbanos, they may not have any mumim. The Gemara says that this is related. The dinim of mumim ba'adam and the dinim of mumim b'vehem is related. Sepsul shenoyik b'kohanim u'b'korbanos. There is one pasuk that the Mefarshim find difficulty in. The last pasuk in that section. Perkav beis pasuk kafem yad ben echer. If a goy wants to bring korbanos to the beis hamikdash, said the Pharisee, that you're permitted to accept. If he's bringing Lashamayim, if he brings to his Avodah Zarah, so you don't accept it in the Samaritan, but brings Korbanos Lashamayim. You may accept Miyad Ben Echor, you may accept Korbanos, but not Bali Mumim. Even though if the Nafi wants to bring a Bali Mumim on his own, this Be'ach Lashamayim, he's permitted, so he's only forbidden to bring Mechusar Ever. If one of the first parish in Avodah Zarah says, the Nafi is not permitted to be marked with Mechusar Ever Lagavoya, but a Bali Mumim he's permitted to bring. Same thing by us, by Oifis. There's no din of Balmum by Oifis, but a Mechusar Eiver is possible. The Gemara says, Thomas was Zachas with Hamas, and Thomas was Zachas by Oifis. No din of Hamas Mimo. They shouldn't have a Mum. Doesn't apply to Oifis. No din of Dokhan and Akeva. They rock male and female birds. But there's no difference. Usually a Chatzis has to be an Akeva, and Oiva has to be a Zohar. But by Oiva, there's no Pedi. You can either use Zohar and Akeva with everyone. The dinim of Tamus and Zachary don't apply to Oif, but even though there's no psul of Balmum, but there is a psul of Mechusar Eiver. Same as by Ben Emeach, there's no psul of Balmum, but there is a dinim of Mechusar Eiver. So the Chumash says, Miyad ben Echa, you're permitted to bring korbanos, but not bala mimim. Lo takrivas lechem lakech mikol leila. Why? Ki mashchasim by a mum bom has a mum. Lo yeiratzu. What should the last word be? Lohem. It will not be acceptable for the goy. So it says, lo yeiratzu lohem. What do you mean, lo yeiratzu lohem? I'm not bringing the korban. The korban is on behalf of the nachri. What kind of lo yeiratzu lohem? Ashver aloshem. Lo yeiratzu lohem. So some mepharshim want to interpret al pshuta shel nikra. That's a shayla. How do you translate the pshuta shel nikra? Some want to say based on the pasuk in Navi, where it says, "Hakirdei nola fechasech ha'yir tzuchu ha'yisuf anecha." The pasuk says in Navi, if you want to bring balimum into the mizbeach, Amirabe, would you ever bring such a behemoth to the goyish governor, to the pecha, to the king, to the ruler of your section, to the mayor of the city? Give it as a hakrab, give it as a korban, a matana, to the pecha, to the ruler. Would he accept it? Of course not. So how can you bring it l'shamayim? Mo'ez l'gavoya. If a boss of a dumb wouldn't like it. So some interpret that that's the pshat in this person. Yad benecha lo takriva es lechem elokechem kol eile. Kimashchasman lo yiratzu lachem. You wouldn't want to have a gift of a balmum. What, if someone wants to give you a present, they're going to give you a balmum. So you can say, what kind of a present is that? You have a nice present, you wrap it up nicely, you don't give me a shmata quality. So just like lo yiratzu lachem, you wouldn't accept it as a gift. How can you bring it l'shamayim? Rashi doesn't learn like that. Rashi says, lo yiratzu lachem l'chaper aleicha. So that's the problem. Does this Rashi really belong on Pasuk Kafei where it's printed, or does it belong earlier when it says that you shouldn't bring korbanos balimum in lo yiratzu lachem? Some pasuk Chav Gimel, maybe that's where it should say Le'ilatzu Lachem L'chaper Aleich. But on this pasuk, it goes on the Nachrim who are donating the korbanos. So how does he say Le'ilatzu Lachem L'chaper Aleich? They should say Le'ilatzu Lachem. It's a difficult pasuk. Then the Torah has a din, whenever you have a behemah, it's Mekus HaZman, you can't be makri of a behemah before the 8th day. I don't know, is there such a... never heard? I'm not familiar. It is also an unclear din. The Torah has a din that you have to wait till the behemoth is 8 days old. You're not permitted to bring within the first 7 days. And if you do, it's possible even with the edit. It's called Mechus HaZman. There are two Mechus HaZman. One is a Mechus HaZman before the Yom HaShemini, and one is the next pasuk. This is Chav Zayin. Next pasuk, Chav Ches. Shoros, I also have been allowed to shchato the Yom Echad. Even by Kachim, the Gemara says, Ubin Yom HaDi Kachim HaDichzid. Even by Kabbalah, you're not permitted to bring Shor V'Sem the same day, and if he did, it will be possible the carbon, the second one will be possible the carbon even with the Yevid, because it's also Psula Mechus HaZman. It's a Psula Mechus HaZman. Tesis in the first parak in Kiddushin, that's your Gimel discussion. Maybe you should be Mechus HaZman in the following case. These are the famous two Mechus HaZman. The Gemara is in Kulin had. One Mechus HaZman by Kachim. One Mechus HaZman is Tech Shmoyna Yamin. And then Mechus HaZman is if it's a nice day, it's a nice day. If you have the following Mechus HaZman, you're supposed to bring the Chatos first, and then the Olda second by your letters. And you reverse the order and you brought first the Olda and then the Chatos. Would you say that the Olda is Psula if you brought it first because it's Mechus HaZman, because you were supposed to bring it in a certain Seder? And you brought a Shalala Seder. Is that called Mechus HaZman? The Taisis discussed that. Taisis the Ritvua, Kedushin Dafti Gimel, they discussed that. Ashayla Mechus HaZman. Otherwise, Mehecha Taisis that the Seder should be Miyake, where do you find Seder is Maka by Yom Kippur? Azevis HaKosuv that the Seder is Maka, says Chukko. Azevis HaKosuv that the Seder is Maka, by Chatas, Yoledis, and all of Yoledis. Why should it be a Havamina? So the Ritvua explains, but it should be Mechus HaZman, be Ashayla Mechus HaZman. There's a discussion in the Rishon. The Mishnah seems to indicate that the Seder is not miyakid by the Oledes, but the Yevid, if you brought the Oledes before the Chatos, you don't have to bring another Oilo. The Yevid is the first Oilo. That's the Shaila. Why? So they say, Ein Mechus HaZman Bo Bayom. That's the Gemara in Yuma. The Din of Mechus HaZman is only have to wait till the next day. You just have to wait a half an hour. The Gemara suggests that maybe that's not called enough of a Mechus HaZman. So this Din of Shivas Yom and Tachasimo, is only written the Chumishora Kesev Oez Ki Yivoleh. What about by Torah Mubinei Yoyna? By Chata Soif and Erev Soif, you also have to wait till the 8th day, or not? The simple pshat in the Pasuk is enough. Pasuk pshat is enough. Some Achrayim have a discussion about this. Recent verse. Have a discussion. Maybe the din should apply to Eifus as well. What kind of halacha is it that has to wait till the 8th day? The Zohar has a famous comment on that, that you have to wait till the animal experiences Shabbos. When the animal experiences Leil Shabbos, then it's Reilah HaKeva. So the Torah made a loitzlug. You always have to wait till the 8th day. Whenever the animal was born, you always insist on waiting till the 8th day, so the animal will always have experienced Shabbos. That's why the animal will be born on Shabbos afternoon, a minute before Shkiyah. So Shabbos is day number one, but it didn't experience Friday night. The Zohar stresses it's the Friday night aspect. Friday night and Shabbos are two different bechinas. Like the Gemara has that Kvod Yom Odif Mikvod Laila. The Zohar says that Kvod Laila Odif Mikvod Yom. Magen Avraham quotes the Zohar against the Gemara. One last paragraph from Sochem says that Kvod Yom Odif Mikvod Laila. But you see, Atzala Shabbos Shabbat, the Zohar and the Gemara both say one thing in common, that Kvod Yom and Kvod Laila are two different dinim. That it's not just the din of Kibud and Oineg for the duration of Shabbos. It's the din of Kibud and Oineg on Leil Shabbos, the din of Kibud and Oineg on Yom Shabbos. You see, that it's not that the Kedusha Sayyam extends for 24 hours. There's a Kedusha Sayyam Balaylo, and there's another Kedusha Sayyam Bayoyim. Maybe that it's on Yom Kippur. Also, Rabbi Yossi Fengel discusses such a thing. But on Shabbos, for sure it's so. But the Zohar says that Alpi Kabbalah also, the Bechinas of Shabbos, whatever one experiences, is different. That's why we daven in the Sidurim that have the Nusach HaTfilah, Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi the Magen Avraham, based on Kabbalah. So on Friday night you say, V'yanuch Uvo, Yisom Kashish Mechon. On Shabbos in the morning you say, V'yanuch Uvo. And Shabbos afternoon, the Mincha Yisev Yanuch Uvam. So that's based on Kabbalah that Shabbos Friday night is the Bechinas Malchus. The Malchus is Loshen Nekevah, so Yisev Yanuch Uvam. Shabbos morning is the Bechinas Yisai, which is a Loshen Zohar, so that's why Yisev Yanuch Uvam. That's why the Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar that Vestali is Shishi. Why Shishi? Because Shishi is the sixth sphere is Yisai. Shabbos morning, on Yom Kippur, you don't say the best Aliyah is Shishi. It's only on Shabbos. So Shabbos morning is the Bechinas Yisoid, whatever that's supposed to mean. I don't know exactly, and then Shabbos, the Shabbos time, Shabbos afternoon, that is the Bechinas, the combination of all the spheres all together, that's why they say the Yanuch Uvam. That's what they quote in Magen Avraham, and on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, they quote like that. So the Zohar is saying, based on this Gemara, based on this Zohar, that Bayom and Balayim is a different Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos. So the Zohar says, what a person experiences, Shabbos even has a hashpah on the animals also, not just on the people. Even has a hashpah on the animals. The animal has to experience Leil Shabbos in order that it should be Roi L'Hakrav Agavi Amizbeah. So it's the Torah, it's a loitz look there, right? We always require to wait till the morning of the 8th day. Yom HaShmini V'Holi, you wrote to the Kabbalah Hashem, when you insist on waiting till the 8th day, so the Yadua, the animal, will have experienced a Friday night, because the furthest away it could possibly be is if the animal is born Shabbos afternoon, but that the animal is born on Friday. So all you have to say is wait till the next day. It will have already experienced Friday night. So why does the Torah say 8 days? If it's born on Monday, so also Monday, so wait till Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Wait till the 5th day. No. It could be the animal will be born on Shabbos afternoon, and in order to insist that it should have experienced the Friday night, the Bechin of Malchus, that someone has a hashpah on the Bema that makes it Roi L'Hakrava, you have to insist on waiting till the Yom HaShmini V'Hol. That's what it says in the Zohar. So then, and the Zohar says that that's the same reason why the Torah requires that Bris Milah has to be on the Yom HaShmini, because Bris Milah is a form of a carbon. You have dam, and the sandik is like a mizbeach. He holds the baby with the dam. It's a moshel. That's what the Vilna Gaon quotes this whole Zohar in the Bir Agron Yeriday. It says Avi Aben Omer Agabi Hamoel Mitzaveu Shehu Shlucho. Machaber writes that the Aviyah Ben has to stand next to the Moel and appoint him as the Shliach. So the Vilna Gaon says, no, he has to stand next to the Moel for different reasons, not to appoint him as a Shliach. As a Shaila, but he has to appoint the Shliach on that, where the Shliach is worse. The Vilna Gaon says a different reason, because the Zohar says that it's a form of a carbon. Mishnah in the last parak in Tainus, that whenever you bring a carbon, the Bala carbon has to be standing nearby. So that's why he says the Aviyah Ben is the Bala carbon by the Bris Milah. And that's all based on the Zohar, that the reason why the Torah requires Milah on the Yom HaShmini is the same reason why the Torah requires Korbanos on the Yom HaShmini. It's a loitlu, in order that the baby should have experienced the Leil Shabbos. That's what the Taz says is the reason for the Suda Shalom Zohar. Why do you have a Shalom Zachar Friday night? Because Friday night, according to the Zohar, is the experience, the baby's experiencing of the Tchinas Malchus, but Friday night, that's what makes the baby Roy LeKarban, Roy LeGris Nivam. Shach gives a different reason for the Sudas Shalom Zachar. Shach goes a different time. He says that it's the Sudas Havro. We were just talking before about the Sudas Havro. He quotes from one of the Achroinim. I got it ready. Mintz or somebody. The Shach quotes from Yeribeya. Rufus Grismid, he quotes one of the Achroinim that the baby Nebuch is in a state of Abeus. The mouth just slapped him on the cheek and he forgot Kalatarakula. He was just sitting learning here for 9 months. Now they just gave him his death and he forgot everything. So the din is when a person is in a deep state of Abeus, you have to give him a Sudas Havro. So he says that the Sudas Shalom Zohar is the Sudas Havro. So we should give the baby a bottle or something. Why do we do the eating? We should give him the eating. Huh?
That's
the shayla that Tesis had, whether you have Sudas Havro on Yom Tov. Chalamoid, you do have Sudas Havro. Tesis had a shayla, what about Yom Tov, whether you have Sudas Havro? Absalvechi gives to give a different time. He thinks, like the Divrei Zev, like the Divrei Zev. Not like the Shach, not like the Tanz. He says, you would have asked me, I don't know if he was serious, but if you asked me, I would have given a different time. He said, because the Rambam says, this is a Briske Rambam. The Rambam quotes the Gemara in the end of Yomer, when someone is sick, and you have to be Mechal Shabbos, so they shouldn't send a Goy, they shouldn't send Noshim, they shouldn't send Tanim. Dovazay, Noizmai, they Tanim, Noshim, and Akum, Eladei Gedoli Yisrael. You have to send a person who's Bar Mitzvah, because if you send little children to make a telephone call to call a doctor, they'll think that it's really Chil Shabbos, and you're not allowed to do it. After Bar Mitzvah, you're not allowed to do it. You have to have a Shabbos going to do everything. And sometimes the patients will die because they'll be waiting to get a goy or a cough in his arm, so you shouldn't do that. That's the Pasha Pshat Nirmar. So the Rambam says, so the Rambam understood the word Gedol Yisrael not only Bar Mitzvah, it means Gedol Yisrael. They have to be Talmid Chacham. So Rav Soloveitchik says that the Gemara says in Yumid that the Yomedis has the status of a choyla sheyesh b'sakana up until 7 days after she has the baby. And it's done on Friday night. The Rav, who's the governor in his community, had the obligation to see to it that in case there's any chil Shabbos necessary, he has to do it. He has to supervise. He shouldn't just send little children to take care. The Rav had to go. So the Rav would walk over to the home of the Yomedis to see if everything is okay. And if they need chil Shabbos, he's going to authorize. But the Rebbe wouldn't walk by himself, so somebody'd go with the Kaboyim, with the presidents, and the name, everybody went to visit the Olam. But the Yikah was that the Rebbe went, the Gedol Yisrael HaChachamim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. I don't know, maybe it was not there, Halot. But the Taz says that it's based on the Zohar. The Shalom Zohar Sud is based on the Zohar. The Gemara mentions that in Perek HaChayvah, the Rav Shmuel went to a Sudas Mitzvah of a Shavua HaBen. Shavua HaBen. The place says that was a Shalom Zohar. That's the marker in the Gemara for Shalom Zohar. Shavua HaBen means at the end of the week, on Friday night. There's a set of Svarim on Kumish. There was a Balabas in Europe by the name of Mr. Yiyushzon. He wasn't religious. And he wrote in Yiddish, von unser alter Oitzer. He made a liquid of all the famous Vertlach and all of Kumish. And all of Rabbanim in Europe, and years ago in America, everybody used to use that set by years. And now, people don't speak Yiddish, and now it's translated into Hebrew. You can get it in Hebrew, the Otzerenu HaYoshen. Yotzerenu HaYoshen. From our old treasury of Vertlach. They quote Yiddish and the Rishon Misnagdish and Vertlach and the Farsh Makomish. Everything is very fascinating. And it lost a lot in translation into the Hebrew. The Yiddish was much more geschmack. So he has a famous vart on the pasuk over here. From one of the Gedolim when he was very young had this vart, and it's not Oiske Hals Napi Allah. People say it all, but you should not be din. It's not correct. Whenever it says in the Pasuk, Ani Hashem, so Rashi says, Ein lecha reshus lahar racharach. Rashi quotes from the Sifra. Here it says, Ani Hashem in the middle of nowhere. It says, V'chisiz b'chus zevach toid al Hashem, l'tzorim from tizbocha, b'yam ohu yochel, l'tzir men abok, Ani Hashem, Ein lecha reshus lahar racharach. Why should anybody be in hurry? What's the problem? We're going to carbon toid. Some kabbalahs eat for 2 days, some kabbalahs eat for 1 day. What's the problem? So he quotes from some Adam Gadol who said as a child, they asked him, why does Ani Hashem? So he had an Yiddish Einfall. He said, how do you determine what's the shear of Yom? So sometimes you say Hayom Halach Achar Alaylo, let's say Shabbos Yontif begins at sundown and goes till sundown, and sometimes you say Halaylo Halach Achar Hayoyim, let's say by Korbanos. You should bring a Korban Toidah, or you bring a Korban Chatah, so it's only Nechav Yom Echad, so Yom Echad in Beis HaMikdash is Halaylo Halach Achar Hayoyim. That's the Gemara in Chulin, in Terekisi Adam. The Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash Mikotshim Halaylo Halach Achar Hayoyim, and Bechulin Hayoyim Halach Achar Halaylo. And sometimes the din of Yom is Chof Kavod Shoyt, Miyais Leis. Let's say in Yom HaYamayim, one Tana holds that the last Mishnah in Shabbos, that HaForos and Dorm is Miyais Leis. Or Yom HaYamayim by Nevet Knaini, if you shoot the Nevet Knaini, so if the Yodin killed his own Nevet Knaini, so if he lives Chof Kavod Shoyt, then you're fine. So that's what the Prima Godim says over here. And the din of Osir is Gnod Lo, so Shchata B'Yom Echad, it depends on Chof Kavod Shoyt, Miyais Leis, 24 hours. So that's what one can ask, one can be Mahar over here. The one pasuk says Shabbos says it's not about Sishchatu b'yom echor, that depends on Chof Kavod Shoyt. Any other din v'chisiz b'chuz elach toyev Hashem v'sanach mitzvah b'chu b'yom ahu yachol asisim men ad boiker, that depends on halayla halach achar yoyim. And the earlier pasuk that says about you have to wait till the yom hashmini, there's a din that hayon halach achar halayla. So one can ask a kasha, what's going on over here? What is the shir of yom? Is it Laila by Yom? Is it Yom by Laila? Is it 24 hours? The pasuk says, not allowed to ask any kashas, ani Hashem. That's how this Adam Gadol said. So those along here a day, you will certainly remember that on the bottom of the Prima Gadol, from time to time, Rabbi Kivega has comments. He has a comment on Hilchas Osir Ezbono. He says the Prima Gadol made a mistake, that the din of Osir Ezbono does not depend on the Yisrael. It's a B'Fevish Shigmar and Shabbos and Perek Avlez in the Mimra, that it depends on Yom HaShol Perek. That it also depends on Hayom Halacha Ramayim. So the Vart is not as knackendick as it used to be. It's not that you have all of three Zmanim of Yom, one after the other, and then the Pasuk is on the Hashem. You have two Zmanim of Yom. One is Hayom Halach Achar Halayim, and one is Halayim Halach Achar Hayom. But you don't really have three. And you have the Parsha Samboyadais and the Din of Sfira Sa'im, are all the Dinim. A lot. I think the Minhas Chinuch has over here tons and tons. Pages and pages on Parsha Samor, all the dinim. Sia Shoykan, Sila Slulo, everything. Sira Sani has our Velt over here. A lot of comments. And then the Parsha closes with the din of the Megadev. Megadev, they didn't know what to do with the Megadev. Sila Forish Lam at all. They didn't know at all whether. The whole din was never given. They didn't know what this Chayv Mitzvah was. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, yeah, Hayru Ashoy is Chayv Mitzvah. They never gave him Hasra. They didn't know it was Chayv Mitzvah. It was a Hayru Ashoy that they gave Mitzvah without Hasra. So Rav Shimshon Lefor Hirsch has an interesting comment then in Hirsch and Chumash. In the Pesukim at the end of the parsha have nothing to do with the Megadeh. They didn't know what to do, so they put him in prison. Rebbeinu Shlom said, Chayv Mitzvah, to give Mitzvah. Then it has other demons. Ishtiaki kol nefesh shodim os yumas. Maki nefesh baby shalmen, maki yodim yumas. Ishti itim om amisi tashosa. Choygro, mazig, retzeya. Maki baby shalmen, maki yodim yumas. Mishvotech and yelachem. Then it says that they killed the Megadeth. So how did this come in the middle of nowhere? It has the din of Megadeth and they killed the Megadeth. In the middle has all the dinim. So the Rabbeinu Hirsch has I don't have his Pirush, but this I heard twice from Rabbi Broyan. He forgot. I visited him once years ago, and he told me over this work, and then I visited him at 5 years later, and he told me over the same work. Must have been one of his favorite, must have been one of the best pieces that Rabbi Hirsch had. So he told me that it says in his Pirush on his Pasuk that they didn't know whether the Megadeth is Chayv Mitzvah or not. Why? Maybe it's not an Aveira at all. The Rebbeinu Shlom sits up there in heaven and he laughs at all of us. You can curse all you want from today till next year, I'm laughing. Like it says, Yeshev Ishmael Yitzchak Hashem Yelad Loma, Yitzchak Hashem sits and he lives. What are you cursing? What do I care? So on the one hand it's nothing, on the other hand, maybe it is terrible, so it's hard to tell. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, look here, I gave a lot of punishments. Sometimes it's an Anish Misa, sometimes it's an Anish Mammon, sometimes you have to pay Hamishud Bar Nezek Tzari B'Shevis and Boishes, sometimes Misa Chambura, sometimes Misa Kala, sometimes Malchus, and all of the punishments, the Gemara says, I'm a correspondent with the Chayma who Avera. The Mohammed Avera is, so the Mohammed Yonish is. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, you know, there's a din, Ishkiyak kol nefesh adam osim. A horig nefesh miso is Chayma. If you kill a behem, you only pay nezik. If you chayvo ba'adam, pay chamish advar, nezik tari b'shevis and b'ishet. So the Einish always corresponds to the Aver. I want you to know that Megadeth is one of the most serious Averis. Don't tell me that I'm laughing in heaven and it's all a big joke and what does it bother me? I'm not going to get aggravated, I'm not going to get a heart attack, I'm not going to get a stroke, I don't care. It's going to destroy all of society. Other people are going to hear the way he's cursing God, so they'll lose their belief and they'll lose their religious observance. That's why I'm telling you, you have to give this man skila, because it's an Avera Hamura Admiyo. An interesting Shutish on Mikro, why this is written over here. That's what some point out on the beginning of the segment. That you shouldn't think the kid is not bar mitzvah, let him do all the Averis he wants. No. When Gdolim see the Ketanim do Averis, it'll have a negative effect on them. When I see the little kid being Mechal Shabbos, I may become a Mechal Shabbos, being a kid eating traitors. It'll have a negative effect on the Gdolim. When we see Goyim doing Averis, it has a negative effect. That's why it's preferable to live in a ghetto. The Chachamim made all of the chumras of Hilchas Erevin, Perek Hador. And Master Hasser made the chumras that if you have a goy in the community, the Erev is not good unless you rent from the goy, in order to encourage Jews to move out of that neighborhood and to live in a Jewish neighborhood where there are no goy. The Chachamim didn't want that we should live in a goyish neighborhood because it rubs off. Kosh came to go to university with goy, to deal in business with goy. Zicha has a negative effect. You pick up their attitudes and their way of acting and dressing. Everything that we see has a negative effect. Sometimes a positive effect has an effect on us. Either we'll tell you all the wrong. Rashi quotes from the Torah Tanim on the Pasuk, "Yisamchu kol Hashem mesidehem." Special din, the Rambam writes a special din that only applies by the Megadeth, doesn't apply by any other person who's Chayim Misa. That before they give him the skila, they have to do smicha. They have to put their hands on his head, and they have to tell him, "Domcha b'Roshecha, it's your own fault, you're getting skila because you cursed Hashem." Special din that only applies to Megadeth. Some for Kol Hashomim Misidei Marosho, and then Virog Moos the Kol Eidah. Who is Kol Hashomim? The Rashi quotes from the Torah's Kanam, Hashomim Elu Eidim. Kol Hashomim Lahavias HaDayanim. Kol is a Ribui. The Dayanim also have to do smicha. All the 23 Dayanim who judge the case have to do smicha. So the Minchasinot has a Kashif. And if he finds it difficult, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that the Eidim who testify that the fellow was Megadeth as Hashem, B'chol Yom Da'anim is Eidim B'kinui. When they have the court cases, they don't have the Eidim say over verbatim, have the fellow curse Hashem Hashem. They don't have it. Bezin discusses the case. And then, when Bezin thinks that he may be Chayim Misa, then they insist that the Eidim should testify by saying over verbatim the Lashon of the Klala that he said. And then the din is, when they hear the Lashon HaKol, they have to stand up and rip Kriya, because the din is that whoever hears the God of Giduf, the Giduf Giduf has to rip Kriya. So the Minchas Chinuch has a difficulty. Why did the Eidim have to say over the Giduf? What, the Eidus is not complete. Why can't they write it on a blackboard, write it on a piece of paper? Why can't they describe? He said this word first, then he said the second one was this, and the third one was this. The Bezim will understand. He has to say Gavain, and why does he have to say the whole Birchas Hashem? So he has difficulty with that. So that's what the Rav Soloveitchik said. This is what some complain, this is the typical Briska style of Torah. That you take the effect and make it into the cause, and you take the cause and make it into the effect. The Pashat Shad is like the Minchas Chinuch took it. That the Halacha requires that they didn't Hilchas Eidus for some secret reason, we don't know why. That the Eidus is not completed until the Eidim say over the Giduf. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says, that Kimish Yigit Shivin Achaz and Magid only applies Lacha Shenech Kerei Dusin Ebezin. Before Kerei Shenech Kerei Dusin Ebezin doesn't apply. The Minchas Chinuch says over here, by the Eidim and Giduf, Birchas Hashem, the Eidus is not completed until I say the whole Lashon HaGiduf, because Adayim HaNechre Eidusim is not finished. And then it's difficult, we don't really understand. Why is it not finished? Why can't they beat around the bush? Why do they have to say Verbein? So that's what others say, no, it's Pumfakir. The Yoyal of the Eidus is finished already. And once they finish the Haggadah Eidus, they can't be Chazer Magid. Finished. But there's a din in the Torah, V'samcha Hashem and Misidei Amal Rosho, the Eidim have to do Smichah. And it says, V'samcha Kol Hashem. Call the rabbis, the dayanim, but the dayanim are not even kol hashanim. So in order to fulfill the din of smicha, we require that the Eidim should say over the Gidah verbatim in order to have a kol hashanim. Usually you learn the pshat faket, there's a din in Hilchos Eidus, they have to say, the Eidus is not finished unless they say. And because they said the Eidus, they said over the Lashon of the Gidah, so maybe the Bezin became included in the category of kol hashanim, that's why they had a rip kriya, because they heard the Gidah and they became kol hashanim. And then later, when you do the smicha, so the Eidim have to do the smicha because they heard the Gidah directly from the Mecharef of the Gadif, and then the Bezin has to do because they heard the Gidah from the Eidim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, and others that the din is done. They say, no, the din is punktaker. In order to fulfill the requirement of some for kol hashayim, that's why we require that the Eidim should say it over. The Hilchah status is really finished even before. It's just to enable the Bezdin to fulfill the mitzvah of smicha. And let's say the Eidim won't say over the Gita verbatim, but they'll say the first one with this, second one with that. So the mitzvah will be given properly. They will just not have fulfilled this additional mitzvah of smicha. A smicha is kol hashayim asidei. Many, many more dinim. This week's schedule is very packed. Okay. Anybody going to be here for Shabbat? Okay.